LASIK Live starts now on Talk Radio 680, WCBM, and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, good morning. Happy Thursday. Gosh, so many of you are on your way to work. You're back at work this morning, and I know because I passed you on the road. Welcome back. Welcome back. We missed you on the road, said nobody ever. But I'm glad that more people are getting out there, getting out and about. It is a new year. 2025 is here. And, of course, yesterday we were talking about the attack in New Orleans. And, of course, yesterday we didn't have a ton of facts. So we've learned more since then. And we'll go over the latest updates when it comes to the attacker. And as many of us found out, it was, in fact, a terrorist attack. And we're going to go over that because if you listened to the show yesterday, I was talking about some of the things that the mayor of New Orleans was saying versus what the special agent with the FBI was saying, and they didn't match. And now we know why they didn't match, and we now know who was actually telling the truth and who wasn't. So we'll get into that. Also, the FBI says they are aggressively running down leads in New Orleans and many other states as well because they believe that the attacker did not work alone. We'll talk about that. Around 10:30, we'll have the question of the day up for you, and it's surrounding Inauguration Week. And, you know, the more and more we're looking at, I would say, just safety, public safety in general. I do wonder how you feel safety will be in D.C. During Inauguration Week. Because remember, it's really a week-long festivity, and I can tell you that there are so many events that are leading up to Inauguration, and I just wonder if we have the manpower. But we'll talk about that around 10:30, and then I want you to weigh in on it. Also, New York City subway, an innocent man was pushed onto the subway tracks. We're going to talk about that because, again, and we see this time and time again, mental health is an important issue. And I feel as though we were talking about this a bit more when we were talking about school shootings, right? The mass school shootings. People were then beginning to talk about how there were a lot of kids that were just unstable. Then we began talking about how we closed a lot of the facilities, the asylums, and we've allowed some of those that are struggling mentally really to just mix in with our homeless population. And I think that that has had some major effects. So we're going to talk about that as well. When it comes to Jordan Neely, when it comes to this guy, this jerk that pushed this man on the subway tracks, when you think about the common denominator and the mental health situation, I mean, when are we going to tackle it? Because I still don't hear anybody talking about what we can do in regards. I say reopen the facilities, but I want to hear what you have to say about that. But first, like I said, we're going to get into what we know so far in New Orleans. Of course, there are some victims that are being ID'd at this point. I do want to make sure we get into that as well. So far, we have 15 people killed, several dozen injured. Yesterday, we were talking on the show. I got in, of course, at 9 a.m. At that point, there was about 10 people killed. It then moved up to 12. So right now, we're at 15 people killed. I did say that I don't suggest anybody seeking out the videos of the truck attack. But if you saw it, like I did, I saw many of them. And you know what? It's not even that I went to go seek them out. Just so many people are sharing them that it's like, you know, you could be scrolling and looking at, you know, just some of the information coming out of New Orleans and then happen to see one of these videos. And I did. And I saw just how fast this attacker was going. And we talked about this a little yesterday because I said then if there were true barricades that were up at these intersections, I don't think that this truck would have been able to go the speed that it went if there were those two barricades, because there's no way that he would have been able to, you know, of course, we always talk about going 0 to 100. But if you saw some of the videos, I mean, you could see that he was going 100 miles per hour. And that's where some of this, you know, kind of leads the story. Whether or not leadership in New Orleans did enough to block off those intersections. Now, there is video of the attacker, the terrorist attacker, going around a police cruiser that was at the end of one of the streets. But if you could see it, and this is why we talked about the sandbags yesterday that they were using in New York City and here in Baltimore. You know, anybody could jump the curb. And I just, it's perplexing that city leadership there in New Orleans didn't think about stacking those bags up on some of the sidewalks as they did in New York City. It was kind of a no-brainer. Look, I've got a Buick Enclave, right? I can jump the curb. I know I can jump the curb because you know how many curbs I've hit? Yes, I'm a woman. I've hit many curbs. You know? I wonder why they didn't take that into consideration. And then we heard more about the barricades themselves because as we were watching some of the videos come out yesterday as we were sitting here talking, and I saw in some sections they had literally just orange cones up in some of these intersections. And I thought, wait a minute, is this what they're considering a barricade? Not a barricade. Not whatsoever. Like I said, we do know a little bit more about the killer. Shamsin Din Bahar Jabbar is the name of the killer. Formerly U.S. Army, I guess you could say U.S. Army veteran, human resource officer, and he was also in IT. There were many videos, many pictures floating around of him in his uniform. He is 42 years old. He was currently living in Houston, Texas. A father. And apparently, according to friends and family, he recently stopped contacting his children. And they believe that is most likely around the time that he became radicalized by ISIS, the terrorist organization. Now, yesterday, we were also talking about the fact that the pictures of the truck that was used in the attack had a flagpole in the bed of the truck. And at that time, all we saw was the flag kind of wrapped around the flagpole. So you couldn't really see what the flag was. You just saw that the flag was black. So we were still kind of sort of waiting to hear from whether it was the FBI or local police on what that flag actually said. And so we found out now that it is, in fact, a flag supporting ISIS. Now, I go back to the interesting part about this because there was a lot of he said, she said, and a lot of confusion in the very early stages of this investigation. Now, of course, that's always the case, right? I mean, no matter what happens, whether it's, you know, mass casualty, if it's not mass casualty, in the first few hours, you never really get the straight story. We know that already. But the very interesting part about this was you had the mayor of New Orleans come forward, and in the very first press conference that they had, she considered this a terrorist attack, and that is what she said. Following her to the microphone, you had the FBI special agent, Miss Duncan. She came to the podium, and she said, "We are not calling this a terrorist event." And she said that more and more. And first I'm thinking terrorist event. I've never even heard it classified that way. An event? You mean a tragedy? An attack? I mean, what do you mean an event? Right? So that immediately I was already like, oh, that's interesting. There were a lot of people that were also pointing out how Special Agent Duncan also had a nose piercing, which at first, you know, I saw the comments, but I didn't really care. I mean, people have nose piercings. People have piercings all the time. So that really, you know, dawned on me as anything important. Well, the more and more she spoke, right, the more and more we saw her at these different press conferences, the more and more I realized that she might be a little over her skis on this one. She had a hard time being confident at the podium. And it was clear. Her voice was very shaky. She would look around the room, and I don't mean like at reporters asking the questions. I mean those officials that were in the room with her. There was a time, we'll get into the press conference, but there was a time where she was with Senator Kennedy. She was with the governor of Louisiana. She was with the mayor. They were in a room, and they were trying to give everybody an update. And this is when we found out that it was, in fact, an ISIS flag on the truck. But she kept looking around at the mayor, at the governor, and other officials in the room as she was speaking, almost like to get reassurance for her words. And I'm sitting there just watching it. I'm taking notes, by the way. At this point, I was at home, and I was watching this on Fox News. So I'm taking notes because, of course, I wanted to talk to you about it. And I've noticed, you know, here I am taking notes, and she just seemed to be all over the place. She wasn't really giving any clear information. And what she repeated time and time again was, if you know something, please say something. And I thought to myself, well, what she was saying was more of what I would have heard, I would think, from the mayor or possibly the police chief there in Louisiana. But here you had the special agent with the FBI. And that's what she was saying. So, again, I immediately thought that that was a bit odd. It was. And it got to a point, and I had to post this. I tweeted it out on X as I was watching. And believe it or not, this post got to 35,000 likes and 506,000 views. And all I said was this: the FBI special agent Duncan is so terrible at her job. Senator Kennedy just took over the press conference, pushing her to the back. And then I asked to the FBI, copy them, how are you not embarrassed? That is what I said, because that is exactly what I watched happen. Now, of course, the video began circulating of Senator Kennedy really just walking up to the microphone, blocking Special Agent Duncan out, where she literally stumbled backwards. Somebody behind her kind of caught her because she, got her heels on. And then they try to stand her up straight and just kind of switch her to the back portion of the group that was there. And he completely took over the presser. So when the press was asking questions, it was Senator Kennedy that began answering the questions. And then you could tell it was coordinated. After that, they didn't even allow FBI Special Agent Duncan to go back to the podium to answer more questions. Now, if you can imagine, there were a lot of people then speculating that this was a DEI hire. Now, I don't like saying that without actual proof or evidence of a DEI hire. But this young lady was clearly unprepared for this moment. The more and more we heard from the Louisiana police chief, I thought another individual completely unprepared for this moment. She is, I believe, 82 years old. When she began talking about the barricades and all these other things that they had put in place, she then admitted there at the microphone that the money of the barricades they used were broken and they didn't use their best. We're going to continue this conversation in a moment because I do want you guys to weigh in on what you've learned so far. All right, we're talking about the latest in the New Orleans terrorist attack. And before we spoke to Tim Herb there, got the morning market flash, we were talking about the FBI special agent and the police chief there in Louisiana. And I have to say, I am not confident at all that this is going to be a thorough investigation and that we're going to learn everything we need to know. I really am not confident. And it's not just the way that they were speaking to the press and answering questions. They just didn't really seem to have a grasp on how detrimental and tragic this all was. And as I noted, the FBI special agent, she was nervous. I mean, when you get to that position, I don't expect you to have stage fright. I really don't. I don't. But she did. And, of course, now there's a ton of people talking on social media about it. But it's not just her. The Louisiana police chief, she's 82 years old. And she gets up to the mic and she's, basically saying, okay, guys, everybody still go about your day. You can still enjoy the festivities. We'll try to figure this out. That's what she said. We'll try to figure this out. And I'm sitting here thinking, wait a minute. You'll try to figure this out. But it's something that I would expect somebody's grandmother to say, Oh, it's okay, Johnny. I'll try to figure out why is that Christmas gift missing? I'll try to figure it out. Maybe Amazon's just late with the delivery. Like, that's just, I couldn't believe it. If this is our best and brightest, I'm scared. I'm terrified. I got a text here. Fred says, Kim, Senator Kennedy alluded to the responsibility of federal, state, and local authorities in this tragedy. The mayor said that they have been tested by fire before this, but apparently have not learned a damn thing by it or other instances of vehicles used in instances of terrorism here and around the world. Even New York uses large vehicles to totally block off streets to any vehicle access. The police left an obvious opening that a truck could even drive through. All of the federal, state, and local authorities are completely responsible for allowing this tragedy to happen. Fred, I'm right there with you. This was preventable. Again, I don't suggest, I don't encourage you to go look at any of the videos because it is just sad and horrific. But there is one video that's circulating of the truck that the attacker was using, and it was rented, by the way. We're going to get into that. But the truck that the attacker was using, huge, huge truck. He goes right around the police cruiser sitting at the end of the street. Then the police, okay, you know I back the blue 100%. But the police officer, as this truck gets around the cruiser, and I don't know, do they usually turn the cruisers off? Is the key not in ignition? Like, what happens at that point? If you are blocking off a street, maybe there's a police officer listening. Is there a man and woman in a uniform listening to the show? Because I really would love to know. When you're blocking off the street and a huge truck jumps the curb and goes around you, do you not then put your foot on the gas? Like, what do you do in that instance? Because the officer gets out of the cruiser and he walks around the cruiser, like towards the hood of it where that truck just went past him, and he just looks down the alleyway. He looks down the alleyway. He doesn't pull out a phone or anything saying, hey, we got something, something. He just looks down the alleyway. It's not that he stayed in his vehicle and said, hey, we got a 4496, whatever you say. He didn't do that. He got out immediately and just looks and watches the truck run over people. There were failures up and down. Up and down the entire tier there. I said, well, from the top tier leadership to the very bottom, this is a disaster. If you want to weigh in on this, you can. 410-WCBM-680. 410-922-6680. Again, we learned that Shamsuddin Bahar Jabbar, nice American name, right? Sounds like a guy from Texas. 42 years old, lived in Houston, father, former military. He was a human resource officer and also in IT. Radicalized by ISIS in the recent months. That's what some of the family members are saying. But a lot is still very curious. And I will say this. When the New York Times and other press showed up, because somehow they found out, as soon as they found out who the attacker was, they found out where his home was. They showed up to his house in Houston. Do you know who they beat there to his home? SWAT! SWAT got there after the press. Guys, I'm nervous. This is not our best and brightest. It's not. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk about these aggressive leads the FBI is supposedly running down. That's what the governor of Louisiana said. We'll talk about all this and more coming up next. All right. Good morning. You didn't join us yesterday. Guess what? Happy New Year to you. You missed that. I said Happy New Year almost all day, didn't I, Brian? I did. All right, we're talking about the updates coming out of New Orleans. And as I mentioned earlier, I'm not confident that this is going to get solved at all. And it's not just the FBI special agent. It wasn't the fact that she seemed to have no clue on what was going on during all of the press conferences that they had to update people. It wasn't just her. As I mentioned, it was also the police chief there. Ann Kirkpatrick is her name. And believe it or not, she's a police chief that came into New Orleans from Oakland. She was fired in Oakland, California. And she was able to later sue the city of Oakland and got a $1.5 million settlement. But she also hit two people with her car back in August. Yes, this is the information coming out with the police chief in New Orleans. And I have to tell you, this is, honestly, there's going to be more that comes out of this story. That's not even about the actual attack itself. It's going to be about those in leadership. Because this is a disaster. Now, the governor of Louisiana, he then posted a post last night as he was leaving dinner from some fancy restaurant. And he says, hey, everybody, just wanted to let you know Louisiana is nice and safe. So get out and enjoy. Because he's still promoting. Because you've got all the tourists in town because they're there for the Sugar Bowl. A mess. And I can't stress it enough. I really cannot. I wanted you to take a listen here because I do have some audio from the first presser. Then I want to talk about the conflicting message there. Take a listen to the first presser.
This is not a terrorist event. What it is right now is there improvised explosive devices that was found. And we are working on confirming if this is a viable device or not. As Chief Kirkpatrick said, we're asking everyone to stay away from Bourbon Street, specifically from Canal Street to St. Anne. That is my ask. Once again, stay away from Bourbon Street, Canal Street, all the way to St. Anne until we can figure out what is going on. Our goal is to provide you additional information at the 11 a.m. press conference. Thank you so much, and we will be in touch.
Yes. I will say that we want our community and our visitors to continue enjoying. There's so much to enjoy about New Orleans, and we are going to make sure that our routes and the Superdome are safe today for the game, and yet we had this tragic event, and we're sorry again to everyone in our community. But we do want you to go about the day. As we say, just stay away from Burma.
All right. Those were our two top cops on the case. The first voice you heard there, that was FBI Special Agent Doug Ginn. And as you heard, I mentioned this earlier, she basically was telling people where to stay away from. Again, that's not her job. That's not her job. She should have talked about the investigation. She should have talked more about what they learned. And yet she was telling people to stay away from Bourbon and Canal Street. That's the job of either the police chief or the mayor. So she didn't even know why she was there. Okay. Now, also in this press conference, as we noticed, or noted earlier, she had a nose piercing, a nose ring in. By the time she got to the second press conference, that nose ring was out. There was somebody online that went through the FBI's website to find out, more about the FBI agents and what they can and cannot have on the job. And one of them is facial piercings. Apparently, you are not allowed to have a facial piercing while working for the FBI. So I think after somebody pointed that out online, she then removed the nose ring. And when they got to the second presser where she was pushed out of the way by Senator Kennedy, she no longer had the nose ring in. Now, the second voice you heard there, that was the 82-year-old police chief, Ann Kirkpatrick. She was basically saying, hey, guys, I want to just rally the troops. Everything is great. Everything's fine. Get out there and enjoy the city. It was just so tone deaf at the moment. It really was. But the big note, the big takeaway there, the FBI Special Agent Duncan, she claimed that this was not a terrorist event. I wanted to just point out to you, at this point, she had personally seen the ISIS flag on the truck. There are images that came out after this presser where she herself, the mayor, and others were standing around as someone had laid out the ISIS flag on the ground, and the FBI at that time was taking pictures of the flag. The special agent, Duncan, she was standing there. That was before she got up to the podium to claim that this was not a terrorist event. Okay? So she already saw the ISIS flag. So when we get into the second presser where Senator Kennedy was there, he noted at this presser, he said, look, I'm not going to allow people to lie about what's going on here. And perhaps that's why he showed up. Perhaps that is. Because at this point, she's telling us this has nothing to do with a terroristic threat, right? She's saying, oh, this is just an unfortunate accident. We're not going to call it an event that's, taking place by anybody that's radicalized by any terrorist organization. That's what she said. But she knew at that time that wasn't true. So when the mayor of New Orleans, who I thought did a fantastic job handling this, by the way, the mayor, when she said that this was a terrorist attack, she was absolutely correct. She, at that point, just chose not to lie to her constituents and to the rest of the world. This was a huge story all over the world, by the way. I said if you wanted to weigh in, you can. It's 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. Also, if you haven't already, put it on your New Year's resolution. Download the WCBM app. It is free in the App Store. You can text me right through that app, and I can read it here live in studio. I got Scott in Westminster. Scott, how are you doing this morning?
Good morning. Happy New Year, Kim.
Happy New Year.
DEI hires all the way. When the chief said stay away from Bourbon, I don't think she meant the street in her case. And what really drove me nuts about that FBI special agent was she's obviously a millennial, and the up-talking was really annoying. I that's so unprofessional to talk like this and ask a question at the end of everything you say.
Yeah.
But I this is reminiscent. I don't care whether people think this is homegrown or what have you. When you're dealing with Islamic terror, there's no allegiance. There's no home about it. The same thing with Major Nadal Hassan, who was born in Arlington. And I'll tell you, he was in the Masters in Public Health class with my veterinary partner, who's still on active duty. And they were warning, as were the instructors, were warning the higher-ups about the radical rhetoric of Nadal Hassan at the time. And they were too concerned about being declared Islamophobes, and they were about safety. And the same thing with this guy. His superiors had warned up the chain about his rhetoric, and they were too concerned about political correctness to do anything about it. Now, I'm not Islamophobia in the sense that I'll face the enemy head on, and I did. But if someone isn't Islamophobic in terms of an aversion to what that scourge ideology is doing to the world and the threat to the country, they're not awake.
Yeah.
If you woke, they're not awake.
Yeah, no. That's the absolute truth there. Scott, thank you so much. I appreciate you calling in. Hope you have a happy new year.
You too. Thank you.
No, thank you. And Scott is right. And he said that the special agent Duncan must be a millennial. But she did do that. After every sentence, it was like there was that inflection in her voice. And it made her, it did sound like she was asking questions. And maybe that's where I'm getting this from, where she didn't sound confident in the information that she was relaying to the public. She was looking around at other authorities and elected officials like, am I getting this right? It was a terrorist event or it wasn't? Could somebody let me know? Right? That's how she stood there. And I was through the roof on it. And of course, I posted about it because it was so ridiculous. As I was taking notes so I could come here today and give you some solid information and have it flow in a way where it's, you know, good for talk radio, it was hard to do it. It was hard to do it. And it wasn't just her. It was the police chief. You know, then Senator Kennedy, I guess he was annoyed, so he got up there saying whatever. The governor from Louisiana, he was annoyed. The whole thing was a mess. So I tried to get as much information as possible. I will say, when it comes down to the threats, as you know, Scott was talking about there in the call, they were noting this morning on Fox News that when it comes to those that have crossed our border illegally on the terrorist watch list, they noted 11 people under President Trump's first administration came in on the terrorist watch list. 11. Do you know how many people came in under Joe Biden's administration on the terrorist watch list? 388 people. 388 people we were able to catch as they were coming over illegally. And some of them after the fact, because some of them were gotaways. 388 versus 11. And so now we're at a point, and we've been talking about this for years now. National security is not there. We have no idea who's in this country. We have no idea how much they absolutely hate us. We have no idea where this officer or, you know, veteran, Shamsuddin Bahar Jabbar, we have no idea where he was radicalized. There were notes going around, you know, there were screenshots. I guess the mosque he attended in Houston, Texas, they had put out a post on their Facebook page telling everybody that attends the mosque to not... I guess, you know, they were saying if police or the FBI call, just direct them towards those that are in the leadership position at the mosque, just so they don't have conflicting information. Some people were questioning why they wouldn't want people, you know, just to talk to the FBI. I don't know how far they got in dealing with that. But that was a post that was circulating. And again, that was the mosque in which this attacker attended. There's a lot more to this story. And I want to get down into where we heard about running down leads from the governor of Louisiana. Again, the entire thing was a mess. I also want to give you a little update. And there was just a little clip that I have for you from President Joe Biden after he spoke about it. But first, if we could talk about running down the leads. Take a listen.
Weapons and potential improvised explosive devices, IEDs, were located in the subject's vehicle. Other potential IEDs were also located in the French Quarter. As of now, two IEDs have been found and rendered safe. the FBI Special Agent Bomb Technicians, as well as our local law enforcement partners, have been working to determine if any of these devices are viable, and they'll work to render those devices safe. The FBI, we are working with our partners to investigate this as an act of terrorism. We're aggressively running down all of the leads to identify the possible subject's associates. We're working to ensure that there is no further threat. We do not believe that Jabbar was solely responsible. We are aggressively running down every lead, including those of his known associates. That's why we need the public's help. We are asking if anybody has any interactions with Samsud Dimjabbar in the last 72 hours that you contact us. The FBI is asking the public's help. We're asking anyone who has information, video, or pictures to provide it to the FBI. We have set up a digital tip line as well as our 1-800 number, 1-800-CALL-FBI. Please provide us with any information that can assist us in this investigation.
And again, as you heard there, that was FBI Special Agent Duncan. She's saying that this attacker was not acting alone. And there was a video that was circulating showing that there were other individuals, I believe it was two men and a woman, and they were placing what they believed to be these IEDs around Bourbon Street. Now, we did not hear of any other explosive, but we did hear that they did find these IEDs. Again, if you want to weigh in on this, because there's a lot here. There really is. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. This was clearly a coordinated attack. We also learned that the attacker had several posts on social media showing that he was radicalized by ISIS and even talking about some of the harm that he wants to inflict on the American people. I'm going to go to the phone lines here. I've got Jeff in Phoenix. Jeff, good morning. You want to weigh in?
Jim, I do. Good morning and a very healthy and prosperous 2025 to everyone. You referenced the woman's cadence. Never trust somebody whose cadence always at the end of a sentence goes up like a question. Yeah. First and foremost, our betters continue to play to the American citizens for fools. As of today, it is 9:50 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our borders are still wide open, and you and I, Kim, and every law-abiding American citizen is paying for this. 300 terrorist gotaways that we know of. And, again, what has changed? Nothing. This when you were playing that one clip of the woman, I don't know who she was because I had literally just tuned in when you were playing it. You said in one press conference she had a nose ring, and the next one she didn't. That's another thing I'll never understand, why anybody would put a nose in the ring, but that's a conversation for another day. It is reminiscent of the classic movie Jaws, when the entire local community, including the police chief, know that that community has a major, major shark issue. But the local politician goes out in front of the microphone and says, everything is A-okay, please go in the water, and then entices those who know better to be the first to go into the water. The truth has no agenda, and I pray that in 2025, as we speak, the American citizens wake the heck up and get involved and stop this insanity, because the fact is we the people have the power to do it if we will get engaged.
Yeah, so well said, Jeff. Thank you so much. I appreciate
you. Thank you, Kim.
I hope you have a happy new year. Thank you. And, you know, Jeff is somebody that is engaged and he does work hard on the front lines as well. And he is absolutely correct on the fact that, you know, our borders are still wide open. And we've got all eyes right now on New Orleans and not all eyes on the southern border. And, yes, we've got terrorists that have crossed our borders recently. We'll discuss more when we get back. All right. We're talking about the updates here in New Orleans. And I want you to weigh in. 410-WCBM-680. 410-922-6680. Jeff from Phoenix, thanks for calling in with those wise words. Yes, our southern border is currently wide open. President Trump has not taken office as of yet. Tom Homan has not. taken office as of yet either, so he has not been able to do his job just yet. And that is a scary thought. I got Michelle in Westminster. Michelle, you wanted to weigh in?
Good morning, Kim, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
What she should have said, regardless of which she in New Orleans, should have said, this is obviously a terrorist attack. However, we are Americans. We do not cower in fear. What we need to do is stay strong, stay vigilant, and help us solve this issue. Anything else? Instead of going down that, there's nothing to see here, Baghdad Bob routine,
yeah,
it's an insult. And we have to get that American spirit back in us. We did it by voting. Now we need to take that next step. Bring that American pride back. Force our elected officials to stand with us on the pride issue, on the American individual, our uniqueness, our powerful way of looking at love, life, God, and country, family. Nothing else. That's what makes us who we are and who we are unique in ways that no other country can understand, including Elon Musk, but that's a whole other ballgame.
Yeah.
Bottom line is, we don't cower in fear, and our elected officials need to get their heads out of their tail, period.
Yeah, I agree. Michelle, thank you so much. I hope you have a Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. And Michelle is correct on that as well. I mean, look, I didn't see a whole lot of comments from our congressional delegation, our senators here in Maryland, in regards to the terrorist attack. I don't see a whole lot of people, even on the left, talking about that this guy was radicalized by ISIS and calling it for what it is. And Senator John Kennedy in Louisiana, that is why he said he got involved in a later interview on Fox News, because he couldn't just stand by and watch the FBI special agent not admit that this was a terrorist attack. People need to know what they're dealing with. They need to know about it. All right, when we get back, I want to hear more from you about this and get your thoughts on it. Also, we're going to launch the question of the day because we're headed towards inauguration. And if this is the best and the brightest at the FBI or other, you know, top levels of police departments, I want to know how you feel about the safety measures that we'll see in D.C. As I noted, there's inauguration day, but there are festivities around inauguration that entire week. And President Trump is having a rally on January 19th, the day before inauguration, and some people are questioning whether or not he should still have that rally. Will secure measures be there? We're going to talk about that and also Biden's response to this when we get back.
Kim Klasick Live starts now on Talk Radio 680, WCBM, and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right. Good morning. Happy New Year. Happy Thursday. All of those things. We were talking about the updates coming out of New Orleans. And, of course, we're learning so much more now that it's the day after. 15 people killed, several dozen injured. And if you saw any of the stories of the victims, you will see they are all very young. And we'll get into some of the victims that have been ID'd, because I believe we should talk more about those individuals that lost their lives rather than the attacker, because I do believe there is this this need for some of these individuals that carry out things like this to want to be famous, right? To go down in infamy with all of this stuff. And I do believe that. I do. And the way that we are treating as a society some of these attackers and killers, I can tell you that I think it does, it motivates others that watch it and say, you know what, I could be famous too. If I were to go and gun down a healthcare CEO, or I could be famous too, if I were to do, you know, things like this, it fuels the fire. And so I want to spend more time talking about the beautiful victims. Also, Richard in the text line told me, he says, Cam, the F-150 Lightning is one of the fastest vehicles you can buy. It goes 0 to 60 under 4 seconds. That's, again, the truck that the ISIS attacker used in New Orleans. He says it goes twice as fast as my Buick. Hey. All right. That Buick Enclave can get up. Let me tell you what. Now, I bet it does go pretty fast. Rich, thank you for that. I guess it's more of a reason to make sure that you have actual barricades and barriers at these cross streets. And we talked about this on New Year's Eve. I said, I don't want to wake up to one of these where the truck runs into a crowd and plows over people because a city did not take proper protocol. And that's exactly what happened. And city leaders absolutely admitted that they didn't do all that they could do. We even heard that they had metal barricades that they decided not to use. There were some barricades, they said, that are, I guess they're being fixed now because they want to be able to use them next month for the Super Bowl. You know, if you've got all these things going on, then why not take, you know, more precaution? And I ask again, when you saw New York City, you saw Baltimore City, and, you know, shout out to Mayor Scott and leadership here. When you saw all of these major cities taking proper precaution, why didn't you do the same? Why not do the same? This is preventable. I got Brian in Baltimore. Brian, did you want to weigh in?
Hi, Kim. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Love the show. Yeah, I'm of the opinion that this is only the beginning and that this is going to, I think it's going to ramp up. We don't know who's here. We have no idea how many are here. The gotaways, who knows?
Yeah.
But I think this is just the beginning.
Unfortunately, I think you're correct on that, Brian. And we're going to get into even what happened in Las Vegas in front of the Trump Hotel. But it is a scary thought. You know, I'll ask you because I got a poll question coming up. Do you think that we're going to have the security that we need in D.C. during Inauguration Week?
As far as the inauguration goes, he should do it in private or on television. No guests. No nothing. Take office and go to work.
Yeah.
That's simple.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are going to agree with that. Brian, thank you so much. I hope you have a happy New Year.
Yeah, God bless.
God bless you, too. And that's the question of the day, folks. And it is on WCBM.com. And just so you know, that is the poll question brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. And the question itself is, do you think Inauguration Week will be secure? You know... You can put your own words there, too, and continue to the next line if you want to reiterate more on the on the website. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. I'm one to think that I'm kind of with Brian on this. I think we're going to have to tone down Inauguration Week. And I'm not saying cancel the events. I'm not saying that. But, you know, maybe cancel that rally that President Trump wants to have on January 19th. I just don't see anything great coming out of it. There's been two attempts on his life already, and this is him with Secret Service by his side. I want to ask you about this. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. Do you think Inauguration Week will be secure? WCBM.com if you don't want to call in. I don't have the confidence. I did want to play for you what Biden said. This is a very short clip, but he didn't take any questions after he came out with his press conference, but take a listen.
The FBI also reported to me that mere hours before the attack, he posted videos on social media indicating that he was inspired by ISIS, expressing a desire to kill. The ISIS flag was found in his vehicle, which he rented to conduct this attack.
That's our president. I know. January 20th can't come soon enough. I did like the fact that he at least admitted that this was an attack carried out by a terrorist that was radicalized by ISIS. I'm glad that he did tell the truth, at least. Now, again, that wasn't the only attack that occurred yesterday. There was a cyber Tesla truck that exploded outside of a Trump hotel in Las Vegas. One dead, seven injured. I don't know if those numbers have gone up as of yet. That is the total that I had. I think that was around 9 p.m. yesterday. The person that was killed was inside the Tesla truck. And at first, there was a lot of confusion because people thought, oh, did the Tesla truck explode because of the battery, blah, blah, blah. Well, Elon Musk then texted to X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it. And he said, no, it wouldn't even happen that way. There's no way that that would have exploded. If anything, yes, those batteries can catch fire. And then what they did is they actually posted a video of a Tesla that has recently caught fire, believe it or not. You know what? This whole thing with the electric vehicles, like, you would have to force me to get one. You really would. Like, you would literally have to say, Kim, jail or, you know, or you're going to go and buy an electric vehicle. I'm gas all the way. Anyways, They showed a video of the Tesla catching fire. And what happens is, I guess, where the battery is located, the fire started at the bottom of the Tesla, and then it just started to, take hold of the car. So it went up the side doors. It went towards the back, you know, obviously towards the dash. But it did not explode. It never exploded, even as the fire was burning. I guess somebody had a Ring camera in their garage, and they showed the entire thing. And so there was a reaction to this fire, because some people said, or explosion, I should say, some people said, no, this is intentional. That is actually a bomb that went off. And again, it was in front of the Trump Las Vegas Hotel. This is some of the audio I have from Sky News as soon as it happens. Because, of course, the entire world is talking about America yesterday.
Some more breaking news coming out of America. We're hearing that a person has died and seven more are injured when a Tesla truck caught fire and exploded outside U.S. President-elect Donald Trump's Las Vegas hotel. A person died inside the truck, and officials say they are working on getting the body out of the vehicle. Another seven people nearby received minor injuries and have been taken to hospital for treatment. No cause has been given. Also giving a comment is Eric Trump, one of the president-elect's sons and also executive vice president of the Trump Organization. He posted about the fire on the social media platform X. He praised the fire department and local law enforcement for their swift response and professionalism. That's all we have at the moment. A person has died and seven more injured after a Tesla truck caught fire and exploded in Las Vegas outside U.S. President-elect Donald Trump's Las Vegas hotel.
All right. And of course, everyone across the globe is looking at America and what is going on here. And you know what was interesting about it? Sky News and BBC, they were calling this a terrorist attack even before the FBI special agent Duncan went to that second press conference and finally admitted it was a terrorist attack. I guess they had already gotten word about the ISIS flag as well. Now, that Trump hotel in Las Vegas, they're saying that Cybertruck bomber, his name is Matthew Leibelsberger. I hope I said that correctly. And they're also saying that he and the New Orleans attacker served together at the same military base in Texas. Now, are they saying that they are absolutely connected? They're saying that they do not know of yet, as of yet, if they are. They're also saying that Tesla Cybertruck was rented by Matt Leibelsberger. Hope I'm saying that right. And the F-150 Lightning truck used in the New Orleans attack also rented by that attacker, and they were both rented from the same company, which is called Turo. Now, some people say that could be a coincidence, or it could be coordinated. We're going to have to wait and see if the FBI is able to get to the bottom of it. As I noted earlier, when SWAT arrived at the New Orleans attacker's house in Houston, Texas, the press was there before SWAT. So as soon as the name came out, which was Shamsud Din Bahar Jabbar, as soon as that was released, the New York Times and others got to work on his identity and was able to find out where he lived in Houston and was there on the scene. And there was a young lady I think she was with the Daily Caller. She noted that she was there at least 20 minutes before SWAT arrived. Now, I don't know how long it takes for them to assemble. Obviously, not an officer, never been trained. But a lot of people found that to be very interesting that SWAT hadn't already gotten to the location, because a lot of us assumed that they were not announcing the attacker's name because obviously they wanted to get in place, right? Whether it's at his home, whether it's at another address that could be affiliated with the attacker or what have you. That didn't occur. Didn't occur. Again, the question of the day, with all of this that is going on, it is clear we have people here in this country, whether they were born here or not, that absolutely hate us. I wonder if we're going to have the safety measures in place surrounding inauguration to the point that we should still have this ceremony as we usually do. As we were talking to our caller, Brian, there, he's saying maybe perhaps you do it behind closed doors, somewhat of a private ceremony, have it televised. I'm kind of sitting in the same boat. There are clearly a lot of individuals in this country that do not like Trump. The fact that the ISIS attacker was able to get over across that barrier or barricade, whatever you want to call it, because it wasn't actually a barricade, it just didn't work. But if that's how far above and beyond you're going here, I don't trust the safety measures for Inauguration Week. I just don't. And don't forget, you can actually take part in that poll. That's the poll question of the day. You can go to WCBM.com, and that's brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. Do you think Inauguration Week will be secure? Not sure about that. I really am not. Now, after all this was happening with the Cyber Tesla truck in Las Vegas, not too many hours after that, there were a group of individuals that decided, and these individuals were anti-Israel, pro-Palestine protesters, that decided to begin marching in New York City. Did you see that? That also happened yesterday. Now, I look at that situation and I say, wow, there was over 250 people out there protesting. Seemed very organized to me. Of course, I'm sure the FBI is investigating. But I do believe this is also, yes, just the beginning. I do believe that. At this point, when I'm looking at the Inauguration Week, I'm thinking, perhaps you bring in the National Guard. Perhaps you have the swearing in to happen behind closed doors. Televise it. I also say, because a lot of times we'll have the fireworks there during the inauguration. Perhaps no fireworks. You know, some people are going to say, well, that's not the American spirit. This is what we do. And, you know, at this point, I don't care what you feel is the American spirit. I don't want President Trump's life in danger. I don't want those that attend the inauguration. I don't want their lives in danger. If we have to make some changes to keep people safe, I say make them. But I ask you that question as well. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. Do we keep inauguration as is? Do we make these changes? What should we do? I'll ask you when we get back. All right, good morning. Happy Thursday. I know it doesn't feel like Thursday, right? It's been a crazy week. Speaking of crazy week, yesterday we were talking about the attack in New Orleans. Very, very tragic. 15 people killed, over 30, they're saying, injured. The question of the day, which is currently on WCBM.com, brought to you by Renovation Real Estate, is do you think Inauguration Week will be secure here in D.C.? And just so you know, right now it's a 50-50 split. Some of you say yes, some of you say no. I want to get your take on it. And, of course, you know, if you feel it's not going to be secure, I want to know exactly how do you think we should go about this. Should we do maybe a private ceremony, have it televised? Like, what do you think we should do? I've got Malcolm in Bel Air. Malcolm, you wanted to weigh in?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that absolutely, we don't change one thing during Inauguration Week. When President Trump had the assassination attempt on him, in Pennsylvania, the first thing he did was stand up with his fist in the air. The American spirit is resilient. He wouldn't want anything changed. We shouldn't let these people change anything about our lifestyle. Let's show them that no matter what they do or what they try to do to change the way we live our lives, that they're not going to do it. President Trump wouldn't want anything changed, and I wouldn't want anything changed either.
All right. Well, thank you, Malcolm. I think a lot of people do agree with you. I appreciate you. Have a happy New Year. All right. Well, that's Malcolm. And like I said, 50% of you already do agree to keep it as is. I guess I look at it and it's not about changing my spirit on this. I don't have the confidence. I don't have the confidence in Secret Service. I don't have the confidence in the FBI. I don't have the confidence in D.C. police. It's sad to think that because I'm totally 100%. I back the blue. But just the past, I would say maybe 3 or 4 years, I'm like, what is going on there? We had FBI agents at the school board meetings arresting moms and dads that didn't want sexually explicit books in their third grader's classroom. That was apparently, according to the FBI, the DOJ, that was huge. We had to get over there and arrest those parents. Yet when it's time to put up a barricade and actually do something to protect people at a New Year's Eve celebration, it's like, we'll just put this cruiser here. And I still, again, if anybody's a police officer, I want to know, what does a police officer do in that situation? I could be totally wrong on this, right? Never been to the police academy. I have no idea. When I saw the officer immediately just get out of his cruiser, he didn't phone anybody. There was nothing there. He just got out of the cruiser, walked over, and watched the truck speed down the alleyway. Is that what you're supposed to do? Is that what you're trained to do? I guess that's the question there. What are you trained to do in that situation? I've got Dan in Emmitsburg. Dan, you wanted to weigh in?
Hey, Kim. Yeah, good morning.
Happy good morning. Happy New Year.
I hate to disagree with Malcolm because I would love to say, you know, whatever, let's just do it as normal. But our celebration ends if President Trump's assassinated. It doesn't matter how much we want to celebrate the inauguration. If he dies, that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, J.D. Vance will take over and hopefully continue, you know, continue what he plans, but that's not really what we want for Inauguration Day. We want him to be able to get in and do it safely. I would say have it in the state capitol house. It's already cold outside anyway. Nobody wants to stand out there for Inauguration Day. Just have it televised from Congress.
Yeah, that's definitely an idea. Dan, thank you so much. I hope you have a happy New Year.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. That's kind of where I am with Dan. And look, they still have the fences to put back up. Remember the fences they put up after January 6th? They still have them. They just kind of rolled them up and put them. I saw them not too long ago. Because they had them back up recently for something else. I'm trying to remember what it was. But I understand that some people want to do it as is because, like Malcolm pointed out, you know, you don't want to show them that they've won at all. And I get that, too. I get it. Call me, let me know your thoughts. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. Do we just have things as planned during Inauguration Week? I mean, you know, will it be secure? How do you feel about this? Go to WCBM.com and take part in the poll, which is brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. All right, good morning. We're talking about the updates coming out of New Orleans. We did talk about the Cybertruck explosion outside of the Trump Las Vegas Hotel. Again, there are some connections there between that Cybertruck suicide bomber and the New Orleans terrorist attacker, but they're still not sure if they are connected. They both used the same company to rent the trucks, and they both served on the same military base in Texas at the same time. They will try to figure out if there is a connection there. Those are heck of a coincidences, right? I mean, look, the guy in the Cyber Tesla truck, he was living in Colorado. Name is Matthew. And it's very interesting that he decided to do that on the same day. And like I said, they both went to, or they both served at the same military base in Texas. All right, my big question for you is, and this is the WCBM.com poll question of the day brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. Do you think the Inauguration Week will be secure? And I'm trying to get a view on your perspective on that. I will be there for Inauguration Week. I think I have two events on the 19th and one event on the 20th. And knowing what we've found out thus far about who's in charge over there at the FBI and knowing, you know, that President Trump had two attempts on his life as he was running for office, you know, all within the same year. It just, you know, it makes you wonder if they're up to the task. It does make you wonder, but I want to hear from you. Herb in Essex. Herb, you wanted to weigh in?
Yes, absolutely. I got a little bit of a laryngitis. Hopefully you can hear me. I think absolutely not. Do not stop anything. And if you're worried about whether or not we could get it secured, at this day and age, we can't secure anything with so many people in this country because of Obama and Biden doing what they had done to this country. You know, they've tried to take and change this country by scaring the people in this country. And when you yourself on the radio are scared to death about what's going to happen, it just shows they're winning. You cannot let them win by canceling this. And Trump, 100%, I guarantee you, would never, any man, like the other caller said, any man that would stand up after just being shot in the ear bloody, fell down on the ground and then got up and yelled, fight, 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 and then asked for his shoes. Do you think a man like that is going to say, yeah, I'm scared. I'm going to go cower in the corner because America is weak? No, that's what they're trying to do, portray America as being weak. You just had a newscast on there where you had somebody from overseas talking about the Tesla truck that blew up. Oh, well, the Tesla truck, it blew up. It was all the Tesla's fault, pretty much, the way he said it. He never said anything else about the fireworks in the back, the gasoline cans, and all the rest of the explosions that was in the back of the truck. The good thing about the Tesla truck, which I'm not for anything electric, but the good thing about the Tesla truck, it's very well made. It's stainless steel. The back end of that truck, if it wouldn't have been secured in the back of that truck, it could have done a heck of a lot more damage. Instead, most of the explosion went straight up, and the fire was contained inside, just like a burn barrel. So, no, don't stop anything, because if you do, you might as well just give in. You might as well just say, here, go ahead and take this country, because we're not worthy of it.
All right, Herb, there are a lot of people that agree with you, even with the poll. And, yes, Donald Trump has already said he does not want to cancel anything. He still wants to have his rally on the 19th. So, yes, he does not want to cancel anything. Herb, thank you so much. I hope you have a great and happy new year. Yeah, I get how Herb is, you know, coming across on that one. I don't think do I seem like I'm scared to death? Is that what? Look, I'm still going to the events that I have planned to go to. I'm not that scared, right? Because I didn't cancel anything. But I will say that I do not have a ton of confidence in the FBI and D.C. police. I think I could say that confidently. I don't have a ton of confidence in them. I just don't. And I'm not going to change my view on that one. I got Grace in Catonsville. Grace, what do you believe we should do for inauguration?
I believe what you were suggesting, that the oath of office should be done in a private, indoor, secure location that can be televised. And I think what the American people think, or a lot of people think, oh, all these little incidents are just like fleas on a dog. You know, they're irritating. But that's not true. People are being killed. President Trump is such a precious leader. He shouldn't be allowed to be exposed to the fresh air in an inaugurate, a public inauguration. It's just, you know,
It's a scary thought. Right. Because you don't want anything to happen to him. Yes, he's had two attempts on his life. And I, honestly, Grace, even after those two attempts, I still don't feel very confident that he's being, securely protected right now.
Well, I'm not in a position to know, but you know that there are other people out there going to plotting to kill him.
Yeah.
And I think this is actually a new type of World War III done by the radical Muslims from the Middle East. Against Western civilization. And we cannot go on the way we are. We have to pay attention. And I believe that if President Clinton, when he had those bombings going on and so many Marines were killed in Beirut, Lebanon, and the USS Cole, I hope I have the name right, of the ship that was bombed in the Middle East, a U.S. ship bombed in the Middle East, and President Clinton just, I don't know, did he shrug his shoulders or something? Well, at that point in time, he should have been proactive and not let any more Muslims into the U.S. of A. and paid attention, and we would have saved the Twin Towers in New York City, and 3,000 people would not have been killed.
There's a lot there. Grace, thank you so much. I hope you have a happy new year.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'll see you. I got a text here in a text line. It says, good morning, Kim. Please explain to me why President-elect Trump and his court jesters are so quick to demonize immigrants before getting the facts. He lied and stated that the New Orleans terrorist was a migrant when we all know that he was born and raised in Texas and served in the military. No fact-checking at all. This is why Trump is ill-equipped to lead, and I can't trust him or anyone around him. Respectfully, Joe from B-More. Joe, be serious, Joe. Be serious. Did Trump say that before the facts came out? Yes, and that's why I don't say things before the facts come out. That's wrong. But are you kidding me? Joe Biden told us that Kabul and Afghanistan was secure and that the military was equipped. And then what happened with the withdrawal? Everything fell. Everything fell, right? We were told, how long were we told by the media and Joe Biden and the press secretary and everybody else that he was sharp as a tack and he was ready to stir, ready to lead. He was doing great. Those were all just gaffes. It's our imagination that he kept falling down, couldn't really walk, couldn't really talk. I mean, you want to talk about lying to the people? We've been lied to for the past 4 years. That's why so many people voted for President Trump. That's why he won the popular vote. This is why he won all seven swing states. They've been lying for years. Joe, respectfully, come on. You can't be serious with this. Really? I can't even think of a time now. I mean, just think about it. Even Kamala Harris. the way that they had her lying about different things. We were told, first, she gets in, she's a border czar. Then, you know, they want to install her because President Biden obviously can't do the job. Then she comes out and everybody in the media said, well, she was never the border czar. Really? Then people put together videos showing how everybody called her the border czar. But according to her, she was never the border czar. Never the border czar. That was also a lie. They lied about so many different things. That's why Trump is here as the president-elect. And so do I agree that we should say things before all the facts come out? I don't agree. That's why I try to wait here on WCBM. It can be very irresponsible. I agree with you there, Joe. But when it comes to lying, I mean, I think we've had enough of the lying from the left. We've had enough of that. I've got, Bonnie in Canesville. Bonnie, what do you think we should do with inauguration?
I agree with you 100%. But one of my questions, the fencing that I saw on the television last night for when he walks down the street, that's nothing more to me than a chain link fence. They think a bullet can't get through that fence?
Yeah, no, I do. Yes, that is a chain link fence, but it does its job, I guess you could say. They still have all the snipers and everything there. And
the
I think, you know.
They've never shown good response or action or protection for President Trump.
That is, I agree with you, Bonnie. And I don't see it. I don't know how well he's protected right now as we speak, Bonnie.
Right.
That's
exactly.
How fearful I am about that.
My mouth. I just think, go back and sit down, get out of the public view. You know, I mean, it's disgusting. Now, my question is also, I have a son that's retired military and one that's a deputy sheriff. I was waiting on their call. I'm trying to find out, because they're both very experienced with Kevlar, could they line the back part of that fence that they're putting up where he's going to walk down the street with Kevlar? Now, I don't know, does Kevlar come in a clear type, you know, so that you could see through it, but that would prevent anything from going through the fence.
Yeah, that also sounds extremely expensive. I don't know, you know, anything about Kevlar. Maybe somebody listening can chime in there.
Bonnie, I'm waiting for my sons to call me back.
Okay. All right. Well, then you let us know, Bonnie. Thank you so much for calling in. I hope you have a happy new year.
Thank you, Kim. Happy new year to you.
Thank you. Like I said, this is also the poll question of the day on WCBM.com if you want to participate. And that is, do you think Inauguration Week will be secure? Right now, 32% of you say yes, 68% of you say no. And, of course, I've been asking today, what do you think we should do about it, if we should do anything? Many of you are saying that we should still go on as things as planned. And, again, that's what President Trump wants. That's what he wants. I've got a text here from Eileen. She says, I thought the same thing the other day. I don't think the inauguration should be outdoors, as the third try could be a success. In fact, his life going forward will always be in jeopardy. Eileen, I agree with you. And like I said, the festivities on Inauguration Week, I think they should still go on as planned. But when it comes to having him sworn in, when it comes to Inauguration Day itself, I don't know. I just don't have the confidence. But I know many of you are saying the opposite, and I'm hearing you here. I got Butch in Eastern Shore. Butch, what say you?
Hello. Happy New Year. Happy Healthy New Year. And about the Trump thing, well, if the Pope can have a Pope-mobile, why can't Trump have a Trump-mobile? Have Elon Musk make one. That way he can go down the streets and be a little safer. It'd be easier for
Have Trump in like a cyber Tesla truck.
Yeah.
And then have it, you know, that's a good idea. I mean, it'd be much safer than the cars they currently have them in.
Exactly. And show them that we're not going to be intimidated. If we show weakness now, they're going to just continue going more and more. You know, strength. We've got to have strength. And just because we're going to get things straight now since the man, sleepy man, sleepy Joe, is Trump calling. It's calling, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yeah, yeah. I think a lot of people feel the same way. Thank you much. I hope you have a happy new year. Thank you so much for listening and calling in. Thank you. All the way from Eastern Shore. Tiffany in the county says, Kim, I agree with you. We need to tone down Inauguration Week. The Trump Hotel incident was a sign. They knew Trump wouldn't be harmed. However, they wanted to make a statement. They wanted to make a statement against Trump. Trump will probably be safe, but what about the rest of us? We don't need to be fearful, but we need to be careful. I don't think these 4 years will be a smooth ride. I see opposition from all sides. We need to be clear-eyed and realistic. Tiffany, yeah, I agree with you. And obviously, yes, that was a sign there for Trump at the Las Vegas Hotel. That's why I can't wait to see if they can definitively connect the two, right? The Tesla truck in Las Vegas and, of course, the terrorist attack in New Orleans. I think, look, with all the similarities, it definitely appears that way. But, of course, you know, we don't have the facts, so we'll wait and see. Let's see. Frederick says, Kim, they are reaping the benefits of having a senile person being leader of the world again. Respectfully submitted. Yeah, Joe Biden, and this is another part of it. When William Hurt came forward and he said that Joe Biden could not stand trial for the classified documents that were found in his garage and other areas, that should have been the moment. That should have been the clear sign that no, he is not sharp as a tack, and it was time for him to resign. They are definitely taking advantage of the fact that Joe Biden is sitting there, because even when he did the press conference yesterday, again, looking confused, didn't answer any questions, probably could not. This last 4 years, man, what a stain on our country. Really is. People are going to look back and they're going to see all these things in history. Because, you know, online, it's, you know, on YouTube, wherever you can find it, it's online forever. They're going to go through and they're going to see all these quote-unquote gaffes, right, that President Biden had. They're going to see where he was falling down on stage. They're going to see the one event where Barack Obama had to lead him and walk him off the stage, right? And then what did KJP say? What did the press secretary say? Oh, it's our imagination. He's fine. He's sharp as a tack. We're going to look back on these last 4 years and think, what in the world? How did we allow such a thing to happen? That's why I'm glad that, you know, voters spoke up on November 5th. But my, oh my, we've wasted so much time. Our border has been open this entire time. You got other wars across the world. That's why a lot of people said before, do you think Russia would have invaded Ukraine if President Trump was in office? I still say no. I still say no. They took advantage of the fact that, as our texter pointed out, that a senile guy was in the White House. Let's see. I've got Lee in Edgewood. Lee, are you a police officer?
Hi. Good morning. Yes, ma'am, I am.
Good morning. Thank you so much for calling in. Thank you for your service. Maybe you can help me out with some of these questions.
I'll try. So I'm an instructor for something called CRACE. It means Civilian Response to Active Shooter Events. And part of the course, they talk about an author, Amanda Ripley, and she writes a book called The Unthinkable, and it's about disaster response and how people react. Two key things that we talk about is denial, and this can happen with police officers, too. I don't know what that particular officer or those officers saw in that moment. I'd like to see if there's any body camera video. But in that moment, there's probably denial. It's probably like, oh, my God, this must be a medical emergency. You know, and you know, the goal is to get out of that denial phase as soon as possible. And the other is scripting. Professional athletes do it. A lot of people do it. It's basically running that scenario through your head going into, like, a high-profile security scene like that, saying, if this is going to happen, I'm scripting my mind. I'm going to draw and shoot. If I see a vehicle barreling down this roadway, I know that everything's closed. No vehicle should be in this roadway. I'm going to protect everybody. But again, each officer is different, and even officers without this specific type of training and the rehearsal of it, they may fall short. They may question themselves. They may see it and go, oh, my God, what's happening? And that's that denial phase they need to get out of. But ultimately, I know for me, and this is not just for professionals personally, too. This is for you to take home with you. Get out of that denial phase. If you're in a situation like that, they're talking about these swarming attacks that may happen here with multiple attackers, you got a 2,500-pound weapon at your disposal. Start running people over. Now, I'm not saying you do that. That's what I'm probably going to do in that situation. I'm going to get out of that denial phase, and I'm going to do that. As a police officer, I already know what I'm going to do in that situation. I see that truck barreling down. If my backstop is clear, I'm going to try and take some shots at that driver.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what, Lee? First of all, thank you for calling in. But I guess that's what I would have thought an officer would be trained to do. But then again, of course, I'm not an officer, so I couldn't answer it. So I'm glad you called in.
Thank you for your service. You take care.
Thank Bye-bye. You. Thank you for your service. Forget about this service. Talking about WCBM, that's nothing. What you're doing every day, Lee, and many of our men and women in uniform, I can't even imagine. We'll discuss when we get back.
She traveled this road as a child.
All right. Good morning to you. Happy Thursday. I just want to remind you what day it is. I know it was confusing this week. Hopefully your new year has started off right. And if you're listening to the show, then you're already doing a great job. Don't forget, you can also find us on Spotify, TuneIn, Amazon Echo. And if you ever want to stream the show from our website, you can. It's WCBM.com. And then, of course, we have the app, which is free in the App Store. Just type in WCBM 680. And I know you guys have options, but I appreciate you guys listening to the show. Let's see. A texter writes in. This is from Tim. He says, why is it that Democrats, Hamas, ISIS, socialists, Marxists all hate the thought of making America great again? They will do anything to try and derail Trump. Very scary stuff. You know, that's interesting that you say that, Tim, because I try to look at things from a different perspective, right? I try to come outside of my little bubble and how I feel about Trump and how I feel about this country. And I want to try to understand how some people just truly hate Trump, whether, you know, they were convinced by the media or whether they just don't like him, right? There are some people that don't like the way he speaks. There are some people that just feel like he's just a little too rough around the edges. Look, I got it. I get it all. But there are some people that will still say, look, I don't like Trump, but I like his policies. That I can understand, right? But when you don't like Trump and you don't like even the policies or, you know, any of them, that is hard for me to understand. Why wouldn't you want a secure border? Why wouldn't you want national security? Why wouldn't you want, you know, a president that supports all of our police, that supports making sure that public safety is adequate across the country? Why wouldn't you like that? Why wouldn't you like a president that wants to do something about the Department of Education when clearly kids are not being educated? Why wouldn't you want a president that isn't sending your money overseas to all these different countries? They don't send anything back. This isn't a loan. Yet you, the taxpayer, you're being taken advantage of. Why wouldn't you like those things? See, that's the part that I can't understand. You cannot like President Trump and his personality. I say this all the time. You want that kind of guy? Go get a boyfriend. I'm not looking for a boyfriend. I'm looking for a president to lead. I'm looking for a guy to get into the White House where people like Putin and others will say, you know what? I'm not going to try anything today. Because I know if I do, President Trump is going to respond. And as one of our texters pointed out, a lot of foreign dictators took advantage of the fact that President Biden has no idea what's going on. He's not truly in charge. If you think that he is, you're wrong. And they took advantage of it. And so, yes, those terrorists, those on the watch list, 388 people that, you know, that we know about that came into our country, they looked at it and said, well, we can just walk right up on the southern border. We had the Chinese nationalists coming in. We had everybody coming in. The Haitians. How did so many Haitians get here? Everybody is taking advantage of us on our dime. And we're sitting there allowing it. We're watching it happen. It's hard for me to understand. Dexter says, Kim, have at least 4-inch bulletproof glass surrounding all people involved. That came in from Calvin. Again, that is the question of the day. You know, do you think inauguration will be secure? And what do you think we should do if you do not believe it will be secure enough? Coming up next, looks like I got some callers that still want to weigh in. And you can. 410-WCBM-680. 410-922-6680. We'll also talk about the latest tragedy at the New York City subway. Again, people taking advantage of us. They don't care. Why should we?
Basic Live starts now on Talk Radio 680, WCBM, and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, good morning. Of course, all morning we've been talking about so many of the tragedies that played out on New Year's Day. You had the terrorist attack in New Orleans. You had the cyber Tesla truck blow up in front of a Trump hotel in Las Vegas. And so the question of the day, which is on WCBM.com currently, brought to you by Renovation Real Estate, is do you think Inauguration Week will be secure? I do want you to take part in the poll, and if you want to call in, you can. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. Many of you have already saying, and I've got 70% right now saying, no, you don't think it'll be secure. 30% of you do have confidence that it will be secure. And I guess I went further than that if you call in or even text the text line. You know, if you don't believe it's going to be secure, how do you feel that we should secure it? I've got Gene in Annapolis. Gene, you wanted to weigh in?
Yes, ma'am. I don't think Donald Trump is going to be secure. And I think he should just do it from the Oval Office because that's going to be his new job anyway. And he's one tough man. I think he loves America and its people. And he would protect us at all costs. And he would actually give his life for us. And that's what I really do feel in my heart.
Yeah. Yeah. Gene, I agree with you. Thank you so much for calling in. I hope you have a happy new year. Thank you. A lot of people feel that way. And again, it's not that I'm scared. I'm just looking at reality here. Secret Service, the FBI, D.C. police. I just don't believe they have what it takes right now, currently. Now, do I believe that they could get their act together, maybe under new leadership? Sure. Absolutely. But currently, I just don't have the confidence. And I think if we, and God forbid, if we were to lose President Trump, just think about how that will just completely spiral out of control, how hearts across the world would break. And yes, as somebody pointed out, they believe that J.D. Vance could, do a stellar job. But he's not President Trump, right? I've got Diana in the text line. She goes, Kim, there is no way that President Trump should have a public inauguration, especially given the two attempts on his life. Of course, he doesn't want to look weak, but the Biden administration will be planning the security, which we know can't be trusted. Trump should say that given that fact that his administration has had an open border for 4 years, we have no idea who the terrorists or criminals are. As soon as I'm sworn in, we will begin the process of making our country safe again. Diane, I think that would be a great thing to say, to be honest with you. I believe you're correct. We don't know who's here. And as the stats came out this morning, 388 on the terrorist watch list has come across our border illegally under Joe Biden. As many callers pointed out, that's of who we know about. We don't know about everybody. On the terrorist watch list from 2016 to 2020, only 11 people. You know what? A caller just called in to remind me. Where are my manners? I forgot to say, if you're just joining us, where the heck have you been? I did forget to say that. I apologize. Look at me not doing my job. Here I am talking about the police not doing their job. Look at me. Look at me. I want to get your thoughts on this. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. I've got Beverly in Baltimore. Beverly, what say you?
Hey, Miss Kim.
Hey.
We love you so much. You're the best girl. And look, you're always on your job, and we just love you.
Thank you.
And look, I agree with you. And we already know the strength of Donald Trump, okay? We don't want him exposed, no habit indoors, and he shows his strength through his policies and his cabinet. No way in the world. Don't have him out there. I'm going to have a fit. They're going to have to put me in the hospital if they shoot at our president again.
Yeah, it is. It's a scary thought. Beverly, thank you so much. Love you, too. Have a happy
absolutely.
New Year.
Happy New Year to all. Bye-bye.
Yes, thank you. As she's pointed out, straight through policies. Straight through policies. You know what I've noticed, Brian, the producer? The women are saying, I've got to point this out. The women are saying, oh, just have the ceremony behind closed doors, have it televised. The men are like, no, let's do this joint, you know? Look, there are some men that are saying do it that way. But for the most part, as I'm looking into this, because I've been jotting this down as I've been sitting here, is it because we're more nurturing? Is that? I see a pattern. I really do. Let's see. Fred in the text line says to not change the way president is sworn in, who has had numerous attempts on his life and not recognize that the threat is still present and persistent in the definition of insanity. All right, Fred, you're on our side. The chain link fence would not stop a truck or a bullet. Anyone that wants to ignore these facts and that Trump is not the only one that would be at risk on Inauguration Day needs to wake up, to our new reality. Keep your eye on the ball and not forget the ultimate goal, and that is to save the country. Fred, you know, that's how I feel about it. But I also can understand the other side of it. The last thing you want is for them to believe that they've won anything here, right? The last thing we want is for them to believe that we are afraid in any way. As I told you guys earlier, there was a protest in New York City after the cyber Tesla truck exploded in front of the Las Vegas hotel. And I'm reading a tweet here from Rob Smith that says, all of these people need to be removed from America. He's talking about the protesters in New York. He says, a lot of these kids are on the student visas. Cancel them. If their family reunification cases in which the third world comes then brings all of their useless relatives, end it now. Enough. I agree with him on that one. If you noticed the protesters yesterday in New York, many of them are students. Remember, they're protesting. They're anti-Israel. They're for Palestine. They believe that we aren't doing enough to protect Palestinians in Gaza. It got to a point, when I first saw the protest, there were hundreds of people. In this video that I see here on X, by last night, it looks like thousands of people were marching the streets of New York City. I do believe they're here on student visas. Yeah, cancel. Why are you here? Why are you here? Not only that, you don't have to be here. Go to Gaza, right? That's where you should be. I'll never understand that. Why are you here protesting? Leave. I've got Bill in Ellicott City. Bill, what say you on inauguration?
Well, thank you for taking my call. Just to look back in history, in 1865, at Abraham Lincoln's second inauguration, John Wilkes Booth was in the audience at the Capitol. Now, John Wilkes Booth bragged later that he could have shot Lincoln, but as your call screener said, he was probably too far away. At the time, I think there were some people like the Secretary of Defense, Stanton, and even possibly Ulysses S. Grant, who urged the inauguration ceremony to be moved inside. I'm not certain of that, but of course Lincoln would have none of that. So, yes, I guess you have to go with the ceremony, yeah, outside and take your chances. Trump, there's no way that Trump would duck and go inside. No way he would do that.
Yeah, Bill, a lot of people are pointing that out, that Trump wouldn't have it any other way. Yeah, I guess I get nervous just because of the attempts on his life. And as the texter pointed out, you know, it would be the Biden administration and the Biden's DOJ and FBI that is, you know, in charge of the security. I guess I don't trust it.
Well, let's hope you're wrong.
Yeah, no, I pray that I'm wrong. Thank you, Bill, so much. I hope you have a great day and a happy new year. I pray that I'm wrong on this. Right now, again, this is the poll question of the day brought to you by Renovation Real Estate on WCBM.com. Do you think inauguration week will be secure? Right now, 65% of you say no, 35% of you say yes, it should be fine. I've got Stephen in Baltimore. Stephen, what say you?
Hey, Kim, you can hear me?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with you, Kim, and I think Donald Trump's a little too trusting. What I think should be done, he should have his own private security. And, in fact, if willing, if Dan Bongino is up to the task, I would bring in Dan Bongino to assemble a security team of his own rather than you trusting the Biden administration. That's just the way I feel about it. So
yeah,
that's all I want to say.
That's definitely an idea. Thank you so much. I hope you have a happy new year, Stephen. Thank you.
You as well. Thank you, Kim. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Yeah, you know what? That's a thought. Even if it's just for that week, right? Say that he assembles a great team for that week. All I know is, you know, with this whole thing with trucks barreling through crowds. And we talked about this on New Year's Eve, remember? Remember I said, let's not wake up to one of those attacks. For some reason, we're not great at securing streets. I don't get it. Baltimore City, like I said, props to Mayor Scott. He got it done. Props to those in New York. They got it done. When you're looking at the so-called barricades in New Orleans, you're looking at some of those videos, those pictures, orange cones, really? You went with orange cones. Ugh. Terrible call. And that's all leadership. I got Mark in Hampstead. Mark, how do you feel about the inauguration?
Hey, Kim, how you doing today?
Doing well.
Hey, so
Well, a couple things. I hate to sound like one of the, I mean, I know it's been said, you know, when we give in to terrorism or we give in to terror, you know, we're letting the terrorists win. And I realize that's kind of a cliche at this point, but I do feel like if there's ever been a tipping point where we really do need to stand up and not be fearful, it's at the inauguration. Now, on a side note, I know this would never happen, but, you know, the only thing that would guarantee Trump's safety is if he were surrounded at the swearing-in ceremony by people like Adam Schiff and Jamie Raskin. Because those would be the guys that would be pushing.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll leave that one alone. But I do have to say, you mentioned a few minutes ago something about, you know, people not liking Trump, but also not liking his policies. You know, it's funny. The left really does broadcast what they're going to do if only we would listen. There was a lot of speculation about the open borders, and the obvious thing was, you know, that while they're trying to bring illegals in so that they can vote, or if you go a little deeper, well, they're trying to bring people in so they can get more representation because their numbers will go on the census. But what I noticed that no one ever mentions is they actually have a name for what they did with the open borders. It's called the Cloward-Jevon strategy.
Yeah.
And you can look it up. It goes back to the mid-1960s, and it was two lefty college professors that came up with the idea of overwhelming our social safety net to tank our economy. And I think we on the right, we tend to think that there is a rhyme or reason that the left does what they do, but sometimes you just have to look at what they do and not what they say and realize that what they want to create is chaos because, you know, the best defense against a revolution is a stable society.
Yeah. Yeah, Mark. Well, hopefully some of the listeners will look into it, as will I. You pray that you don't have people in charge that would want to do such a thing, but that evil does exist, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look back at Time Magazine, February of 2021 issue of Time Magazine, you know, they literally admitted they stole the 2020 election, and not only did they admit that they stole it, but they explained why it was a good thing. And, you know, Time Magazine, you know, half the writers at Time Magazine work for the Central Intelligence Agency and have for the last 60 years. But they literally admit it. So, you know, the left broadcasts what they're going to do. We just need to really take them seriously and listen to what they're saying.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, Mark, thank you so much. I hope you have a happy new year.
Thanks. You too.
Thank you. And a lot of times it's also projection, right? Because remember when they were telling us that Biden was sharp as a tack, they were also trying to, the mainstream media, there were a lot of people saying that President Trump was having a hard time remember things. Remember that? And we're like, wait a minute, what? Out of all the people? And so they were using this projection method, and I noticed that they do that a lot. All right, coming up next, we'll continue on this conversation. Also, I do want to talk about some of the victims that have been ID'd. Very young people with promising futures, so we'll talk about them as well.
My heart's never smiled so
hard. Good morning. Happy New Year. We are still talking about the attacker, the terrorist attacker in New Orleans. And then we were talking about the suicide bomber that used the Cybertruck. Didn't do a very good job. I guess he just didn't know how the Tesla Cybertruck was equipped to not really allow the explosive to leave the vehicle. But he sat in front of a Las Vegas Trump hotel, I guess, hoping to blow the entire hotel up, but that is not what happened. The suicide driver died, and then they're saying seven other people were injured nearby, but all are doing well that were injured. I did want to talk about some of the victims because we do have the ID of some of those that were killed in New Orleans, and I want to make sure that we mention them. But also I'm asking whether or not we should continue the festivities on Inauguration Week, as we always have done, and a lot of you were weighing in on it. I've got Tina in Reisterstown. Tina, what do you think we should do?
Well, there are a couple of ways of looking at this. Number one, it should be up to every elected Trump and his inner circle and his family to decide. But if he decides to do it inside, what it says to me is that it should say to everyone, he loves all of us. He loves America. And he, if he decides to do it inside, it doesn't mean he's weak. He's doing it to protect us. And that's the central thread. Yes, Trump, fight, 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 but he's been fighting for the country. And if he decides to do it inside, he will still be fighting for the country. And Kim, thank you for remembering the people in Atlanta. Not Atlanta, listen to me. I always get nervous when I call you guys. Down in on Bourbon Street, thank you for remembering their names, and thank you for all you do for us here in Maryland.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Tina. Thank you so much for calling in. I hope you have a happy new year.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. And I think, you know, Tina is very correct in that. Obviously, the decision should be made by President Trump and his family. I will say I was shocked when President Barack Obama, his first term, I was shocked that he wanted everything to be so public, right? There was the outside ceremony. There were a ton of people down there. And, of course, there were a lot of people that were whispering whether or not, you know, he was going to truly be safe on that day. I did want to get, let's see, we've got Joe and Perry Hall. Joe, you wanted to weigh in? Hello, Joe?
Oh, Perry Hall? Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't trust any of these leaders. And my question then is, who's going to be there? Is Benedict Biden going to be there? Or any of the other of the leaders of this band?
Yeah, that would be the only saving grace, is because, yes, you will have many, you know, in the Democrat Party there. But, you know, so they'll have their security there. But I still, I don't know about it. I don't know.
And what about the air and land perimeter? Are these drones going to be in the air? They could put a diversion up, have a whole flock of them going one way, and then they have a single one come in from behind. Or, you know, in their strategy. And this could, you know, if this was lethal, it could bring in martial law. I might be wrong about that, but, you know, it's something to think about.
For sure. For sure. Joe, thank you so much. I hope you have a happy new year.
Oh, have a good life, and happy new year to you.
Thank you. Yeah, you know what? We stopped talking about the drones, didn't we? They told everybody that they were fine, so we're not talking about them. Still, if you want to weigh in on this, 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. I did want to go ahead and announce the very first victim that was ID'd, 18-year-old Nakira Dedeau, very Creole last name, D-E-D-E-A-U-X. She was from Gulfport, Mississippi. And says Nakira was due to start nursing program at Blue Cliff College on January 13th. She came to New Orleans to celebrate the New Year's with a couple of her friends. Again, her future was stolen by this terrorist attacker. We're going to get into some of the more some other names that have come out as well. A lot of their families weighing in, obviously absolutely crushed and heartbroken. But I will say all of the victims that I've seen so far, the 15 that have been ID'd, all of them very young, all of them under the age of 30, all of them with futures, bright futures ahead of them. And this is where we are in this country, which is a sad thought. All right, we'll continue this discussion when we get back. Also, we've got some texts coming in the text line. I'd like to read those texts and just update you on the New York City subway tragedy that just occurred. Yes, we've had many, but there was another one that I want to tell you about. All right, good morning to you. Yes, we are still talking about what happened in New Orleans on New Year's Day. And then also the Cybertruck explosion in Las Vegas in front of the Trump Hotel. We were talking about inauguration and whether or not we feel as though it's going to be secure. That is the WCBM poll question of the day, brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. Do you think Inauguration Week will be secure? If you can, go ahead and go to WCBM.com and participate in the poll. I've got Jay in Westminster. Jay, how do you feel about inauguration? Should we do it inside, outside? What are your thoughts?
Definitely inside, but I've got the answer for the whole thing. 2026, I believe, is the 250th anniversary of our country. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. We could blame it all on Biden letting the country go to hell and say we're going to have to postpone this, but in 2026, in July 4th, we're going to have a massive celebration, which would take the place of this inauguration celebration.
Well, you know what? That's an idea. That's a good idea, Jay. Well, thank you so much. I hope you have a happy new year.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. We had to delay it until President Trump has a handle on everything. That's a possibility, right? It's a possibility. We were talking about, unfortunately, the victims, 15 killed in that truck attack by the terrorist that was radicalized by ISIS. We talked about the nursing student that was killed. Second victim identified was 30-year-old Reggie Hunter, a warehouse manager and a father of two from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. He decided to go on a whim last moment. He was also hit with his cousin. His cousin is in critical condition at the hospital there in New Orleans. Third victim identified was New Orleans in the New Orleans attack was 27-year-old Tiger Beck, a Lafayette native and former football player for Princeton University. Tiger was kept on life support until his family arrived, and after which he died. He is the older brother of a former LSU player, Jack Beck. Fourth victim that was identified was New Orleans in this New Orleans attack was 28-year-old Nicole Perez. She leaves behind a 4-year-old son. Nicole worked at a deli and had just been promoted to manager. Her son is now in the care of friends. Oh, so awful. Fifth victim identified in this attack, 21-year-old Hubert Guthrow. And that is G-A-U-T-H-R-E-A-U-X, Hubert Guthrow. Hubert's family had been searching for him for hours until he was found at a local hospital where he then died of his injuries. Sixth victim identified was 25-year-old Matthew Tenedaro, an audiovisual technician for the Superdome. Matthew was actually shot and killed. His loss leaves an irreplaceable void in the hearts of his family and friends. I guess they were able to get a hold of his cousin. And so remember, there was a shootout between the attacker and police where two officers were shot. I believe they are in stable condition, also both still in the hospital, but he was shot during that shootout. Also, a seventh victim identified 18-year-old Kareem Badawi, a freshman at the University of Alabama. Kareem graduated last year from Baton Rouge Episcopal High School. And, of course, his family is absolutely devastated and heartbroken. And those are the ones that I see thus far that have been ID'd and family members have come forward. Like I said, very young, all promising futures. And like I said earlier, I cannot say that leadership there in New Orleans doesn't have some blame. They knew that the barriers were not sufficient. They knew this. They said as much in the second press conference. So you knew it, but still said, eh, it is what it is. Unacceptable. I've got Tom in Catonsville. Tom, what do you think we should do for inauguration?
Hey, good morning, Kim. Happy New Year.
Good morning. Happy New Year to you, too.
Well, I mean, I don't think people should act like they're afraid, but I think they need to acknowledge where they are, you know, in this particular time. This is not 1975 America. You know, there are a lot of bad actors out there. You're talking the other day that they've emptied out the insane asylums. They've let all kinds of people in the country over the last two, three, six decades, and haven't checked them. It's just not the place. There's no inauguration. There's no block party. There's no rally that I need to go to bad enough that I'm going to put myself in that position. And when you look at the people who are supposed to be there to protect us, I mean, all the way up to the FBI and the CIA, they've been instigating these things. They've been shown to instigate. They were involved in some assassination plot for Gretchen Whitmer. You know, they're implicated in the January 6th thing. I mean, if somebody invites you to a riot, just don't go.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to go. I don't need it. And I just, until Trump gets in there and we maybe see some real cleanup happening from top to bottom, I just think people need to acknowledge it's maybe not the time and place to put yourself in a position to be a target.
Yeah. Yeah, Tom, I agree with you. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
You have a happy new year. Thank you.
You too.
Thank you. Look, when it comes to, like I said, I've got three events down there inauguration week. I will go to the events, but I'm not standing outside for inauguration. Well, first of all, I mean, if we're being honest here, I was not going to stand outside for inauguration. We all know that I'm black and I get cold very easily. You couldn't pay me to stand outside for hours. But on top of that, even those events, I will go straight to the event and I will go straight home. And there's not going to be any hanging out, you know, oh, let's grab a drink. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And it's not that I'm just so scared. It's just I have no confidence in those that are supposed to provide the public safety at this point. I don't have it. Craig from Harford County texted a text line. He says, Happy New Year, Kim. Everyone is asking how these two folks were radicalized or are they related. I think our own mainstream media has radicalized our own citizens against Republicans and Trump. I think the ISIS flag is merely a symbol to throw off political nature of these attacks. Be safe out there. Craig in Harford County. You know, Craig, a lot of people are wondering the same thing because ISIS has not taken credit for this truck attack in New Orleans. And usually you do see a statement or something from ISIS. I haven't seen it. That doesn't mean it hasn't come out. I have not looked as of, I would say, maybe 7 a.m. this morning. But we might see something. I know they're doing an update currently out of New Orleans. Keith says, Kim, Reagan's second inauguration was canceled at the last minute due to extremely cold weather. It was understandable by everyone involved. Yeah, Keith, if we've got to postpone it or, you know, do something. Look, I don't think any, I know we want to stand up and say, yes, we are proud, we are Americans, and you will not scare us. But if Trump came forward because Melania and Ivanka, his daughters, Tiffany, if they said, Dad, we don't want you outside, and we don't want to see the, you know, this happen so publicly. I think President Trump would say, you know what? The women in my life, they're saying that I got to do it inside, and I'm going to do it inside. Or they're saying we should postpone it, and you know what? Let's postpone it. I think he will say that. I think he will. And I can imagine, you know, because Melania's talked about before in interviews how afraid she is for his safety. It's a scary thought. Let's see. I've got a text here from Fred. It says, picture this. President Trump is sworn in while the Oval Office standing next to a stack of executive orders. After he is sworn in, he sits down and begins signing those executive orders. How sweet would that be? Fred, that's a good idea, right? What was it, Barack Obama, who said, I have a pen or something like that? What? We all have pens, Obama. Let's see. I've got, I guess some people are talking about the subway attack. You know what? We will get into that. Let me take this caller here, and then we'll talk about New York City subway. Pat in Kingsville. Pat, you wanted to weigh in on the inauguration?
I sure do. You know these, you know, where you stand at a bus stop and the bus, you know, comes, you have a protective little thing over you. So couldn't they do something like a bulletproof shield, something like that, to build it around him? So that, you know, it'd be bulletproof and, you know, he could stand inside of it. Of course, I know somebody could from the crowd could shoot at him, but there could be something to protect him and it would be bulletproof and that might work.
Yeah, that's a thought. That is a thought. I think some people are thinking, too, that, you know, yes, of course, keep Trump safe. And I'm sure, you know, if somebody wanted to hurt people that were there. You know, that would be a whole different situation. But I could see what you're talking about there, Pat. I think that would be a great idea.
Okay, well,
thank you.
Just a suggestion.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Thanks. Happy New Year to you. Thank you so much. Okay. Thank you for listening. You know, I think we we all have some great ideas here, and I think we all somewhat agree, right? Even those that want Trump to stand strong and still do inauguration as planned. I mean, many people have still said, you know, we just don't want them to believe that they won. But I think we're all kind of agreeing that there is somewhat of a threat, you know, by what, you know, we're saying here. Again, if you want to take part in the poll, it is there. Brought to you by Renovation Real Estate at WCBM.com. Do you think Inauguration Week will be secure? All right. I did want to talk about a couple different things. Oh, you know what? We'll talk about this New York City subway tragedy, and luckily the gentleman survived. But I also wanted to just bring to you really quickly here, because I know we've been talking all week about the speakership. There are so many people, even in the Republican Party, that do not want to see Speaker Mike Johnson continue as the Speaker of the House. And so here I was just minding my business on X last night, just going through, trying to see if there were any new updates in New Orleans. And I'm just reading along, and I see this unlikely tweet. And I say it's unlikely because usually, for the most part, Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky doesn't usually get into the fray online, right? Like, if you see him at a committee hearing, if he has his Festivus report, you know, he'll say what he has to say, right? But I was watching, like I said, going through X, scrolling through. Senator Rand Paul, he posts this on Twitter just yesterday. As Congress debates reelecting the accidental Speaker Mike Johnson, conservatives across the country should remember Speaker Mike cast the deciding vote to allow a secret court, FISA, to search American records without a warrant and to send $60 billion to Ukraine. Pathetic. Yes, Senator Rand Paul ended that with the word pathetic. I have never, ever, ever seen this from Senator Rand Paul. Now, of course, he said many things in the past about Dr. Fauci. I think a lot of us could agree with him on all those posts about Dr. Fauci. But I've never seen him comment on another Republican this way. Again, I ask the same questions. If it's not going to be Speaker Mike Johnson, who's it going to be? Who has the votes? That's still the same question I have to ask. But I wanted to bring that to you because now, of course, there are a lot of people weighing in now that this post comes from Senator Rand Paul, which, again, he doesn't say anything like this ever. Over 1.1 million views on that tweet, by the way. He's not happy with Speaker Mike Johnson. I had no idea. Brian, the producer, did you know? You didn't know? I didn't know either. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. All right. So there was an attack again in the New York City subway. You had a crazy lunatic that shoved a gentleman onto the tracks. So can I talk about, like, we all know that I'm afraid of birds, right? I'm afraid of birds. But you know what another fear of mine is? Someone pushing me onto the tracks of a light rail or subway. I don't know why that is, but I've seen it so many times where it's like these random people are just waiting for the train. And then, boom, it's happened time and time again. Okay, another thing. Why are you standing so close to the tracks and not paying attention? I'm not victim blaming. I just want to be clear about that. But your head's got to be on a swivel. You can't, those days where you're just looking at your phone or reading a book, standing next to the tracks like this, you know that there's lots of crazy people in the New York City subway. We already know this. Okay? This is nationally known, internationally known at this point. Why would you not be paying attention? I don't understand. Thank goodness this gentleman survived. They're saying that he has a head injury, but he was shoved onto the tracks. And as you can see in the video, the train then comes. They're saying that he must have fell, like, you know, the way that he was shoved, he must have fell right on the very side, on the inner side. And he must have been right under, like, under the train, like as the train came. It must have gone right over him where the train most likely hit him in the back of the head. But because he was in that little pocket, he wasn't hurt otherwise. Talking about having a guardian angel. Gosh, how scary is that? Well, the attacker, this lunatic, apparently, of course, he is deranged. He has mental issues. But a Brooklyn woman came forward and said that she was stalked by this deranged guy. She actually had to file charges. His name is Kamel Hawkins. She said that she was terrified for weeks in regards to this individual. She went down to the police station, told him, I think he's going to do something to me. So when she saw his picture, she immediately contacted police and then contacted the press and wanted the police to pull up her police report so they could see that, you know, what he had been doing to her. Now, of course, they're all saying still allegedly. But she was saying that he showed up at her apartment. This all goes back to October of last year. Showed up to her apartment. She said that he came up there. I guess thought that she was attractive or something like that. Began stalking her that way. He ended up hurting her dog. She ended up confronting him about the dog because she knew that he did it, because, of course, he's the one standing outside of her apartment building every day. He then admitted to her that he did do something to the dog to get her attention. This is how crazy this guy was. Well, anyways, he wears a ski mask, and you can see in the video where this gentleman, he's standing there, he's looking at his phone. When I tell you he's right next to the tracks, I mean right next to the tracks. You know how they have that, like, the yellow strip? And you're like, you shouldn't go past that little yellow strip. Like, I'm one of those people where I'm like, I'm nowhere near the yellow strip, okay? And you know, I'm always in heels. So I don't need to be anywhere near the yellow strip, okay? But this guy is right up on the yellow strip where you shouldn't be. The guy, Hawkins, he comes across him. You can see where he kind of looks him up and down as he's walking by him. And then, boom, just shoves him. The train comes immediately. He intentionally tried to kill this man, so Hawkins is now being charged with attempted murder. But my, oh my, please, everybody, please pay attention. Please, have your head on a swivel. This is, again, you know what we talked about? How many times have we talked about getting your concealed carry in on the show? It's come to that point. It has come to that point. Your best defense right now is to be able to protect yourself and your family. All right, we get back. I did have a couple notes here that I wanted to note to you. Also, authorities are warning people of scams to look out for here in 2025. I just wanted to get those to you real quickly just because I know it's so easy to get scammed online these days. And I just want you to make sure that you're paying attention to that as well. We'll discuss more coming up. All right, as you just heard there, Rob Carson is back today. Live on WCBM, so don't go anywhere. I did want to note, as I'm watching this press conference, the update here in New Orleans, which we'll talk about tomorrow. I'll make sure to get some sound from this for you. The FBI Special Agent Duncan, who I was complaining about earlier in the show, she is not there today at this press conference. They have a different special agent with the FBI. He was just speaking, a gentleman tall with a bald head. She's not there today. She's not there. I would think that she's most likely going to be fired. I've never in my wildest dreams would have imagined that the special agent in charge of the FBI would, again, the nose ring, I don't really care. Do I think nose rings are attractive? Absolutely not. People got them, so what? I don't care. Do what you want with your life. It's a free country. You can pierce your nose, you know, 80 billion times. I don't care. That wasn't the problem that I had with her. It was the fact that she deliberately lied after looking at the ISIS flag on the bed of the truck. And then, on top of it, she gets up there, she corrects the mayor, right, of New Orleans, like, oh, no, we're not calling this a terrorist event. It was clearly a terrorist event. But she gets up there, and she corrects the mayor, as if, how dare you, mayor? Then she poses everything she says as a question. Then she couldn't even answer any of the questions from the reporters, right? Senator Kennedy had to take over. She had no idea what was going on. They asked her to speak at the second press conference. She doesn't tell us what's going on with the FBI investigation. She says, we need everybody to stay away from Canal and Bourbon Street, okay? What? This is the FBI. Oh, what a joke. I got a text here. Debbie says, Kim, I'm going to the inauguration with my family members, and we will only not go if it gets canceled. I trust this administration as much as I trust Satan, with that said. Yeah, Debbie, just, you know, make sure your head's on a swivel. Be safe. I'm sure President Trump is going to have things as planned. As many people pointed out, you know, he's not a guy to shy away from it. I did want to tell you guys, because we were talking about the visas and all the drama on Twitter with Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk and everybody going back and forth because they felt like they weren't putting Americans first. And they were getting some people from other countries to come in to do some of the tech and engineering jobs. They didn't like that. Vivek and Elon said, well, the best and the brightest just aren't here in America. They're overseas. Well, if you could imagine, a lot of people were very upset. And I understand the debate. I get it. Well, yesterday, the Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, they posted that they are recruiting for a very small number of full-time salaried HR, IT, and finance positions. And if you are interested, you can DM them your resume and a few bullet points about why you're interested in DOGE. They had no choice. They had to put that out there. They had no choice. Real quick, just so you know, authorities are warning people of scams to look out for here in January 2025. Facebook Marketplace, lots of scams there. Make sure you get all the information and bring somebody with you when you go pick up some of this stuff. Don't go alone. Come on, guys. All right. I don't want to sound like your mother, but I'm your mother today. Impersonations online, always verify you are talking to the correct person. I've seen many accounts with my name on it. I have no idea who those people are. I just look. If the blue check isn't there, it's not me. And I only have one account on each platform. I don't have many. Trust me. I don't even want to manage the one account that I have. Also, there's scams with crypto. We know about that. We talked about the Hawktua girl and the rug pull she had with her crypto buddies taking millions of dollars. You know, she is going to end up in court, man. They're suing her. We'll see what happens because crypto isn't really regulated as of yet. And then also, last but not least, fake concert tickets. Brian, the producer, you try to go see some concerts. You like, what is it, Pearl Jam? Morgan Wallen. Oh, yes. Take me with you. Yes, that is something that the authorities say look out for. They've seen a lot of people getting scammed already here in January, and they don't want you to get scammed. So make sure you keep an eye out for those things and always verify who you're speaking to online. Tomorrow we'll talk about new updates coming out of New Orleans, of course, and whether or not they connected New Orleans and Las Vegas. As always, Brian, thank you for a great show. I'll talk to all of you tomorrow at 9 a.m.
Kim Klasick Live starts now. Woo! On Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, good morning. Of course, all morning we've been talking about so many of the tragedies that played out on New Year's Day. You had the terrorist attack in New Orleans. You had the cyber Tesla truck blow up in front of a Trump hotel in Las Vegas. And so the question of the day, which is on WCBM.com currently, brought to you by Renovation Real Estate, is do you think Inauguration Week will be secure? I do want you to take part in the poll, and if you want to call in, you can. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. Many of you have already saying, and I've got 70% right now saying, no, you don't think it'll be secure. 30% of you do have confidence that it will be secure. And I guess I went further than that if you call in or even text the text line. You know, if you don't believe it's going to be secure, how do you feel that we should secure it? I've got Gene in Annapolis. Gene, you wanted to weigh in?
Yes, ma'am. I don't think Donald Trump is going to be secure. And I think he should just do it from the Oval Office because that's going to be his new job anyway. And he's one tough man. I think he loves America and its people. And he would protect us at all costs. And he would actually give his life for us. And that's what I really do feel in my heart.
Yeah. Yeah. Gene, I agree with you. Thank you so much for calling in. I hope you have a happy new year. Thank you. A lot of people feel that way. And again, it's not that I'm scared. I'm just looking at reality here. Secret Service, the FBI, D.C. police. I just don't believe they have what it takes right now, currently. Now, do I believe that they could get their act together, maybe under new leadership? Sure. Absolutely. But currently, I just don't have the confidence. And I think if we, and God forbid, if we were to lose President Trump, just think about how that will just completely spiral out of control, how hearts across the world would break. And yes, as somebody pointed out, they believe that J.D. Vance could, you know, do a stellar job. But he's not President Trump, right? I've got Diane in the text line. She goes, Kim, there's no way that President Trump should have a public inauguration, especially given the two attempts on his life. Of course, he doesn't want to look weak, but the Biden administration will be planning the security, which we know can't be trusted. Trump should say that given that fact that his administration has had an open border for 4 years, we have no idea who the terrorists or criminals are. As soon as I'm sworn in, we will begin the process of making our country safe again. Diane, I think that would be a great thing to say, to be honest with you. I believe you're correct. We don't know who's here. And as the stats came out this morning, 388 on the terrorist watch list has come across our border illegally under Joe Biden. As many callers pointed out, that's of who we know about. We don't know about everybody. On the terrorist watch list from 2016 to 2020, only 11 people. You know what? A caller just called in to remind me, where are my manners? I forgot to say, if you're just joining us, where the heck have you been? I did forget to say that. I apologize. Look at me not doing my job. Here I am talking about the police not doing their job. Look at me. Look at me. I wanted to get your thoughts on this. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. I've got Beverly in Baltimore. Beverly, what say you?
Hey, Miss Kim.
Hey.
We love you so much. You're the best girl. And look, you're always on your job, and we just love you.
Thank you.
And look, I agree with you. Kim, we already know the strength of Donald Trump, okay? We don't want him exposed. No, have it indoors, and he shows his strength through his policies and his cabinet. No way in the world. Don't have him out there. I'm going to have a fit. They're going to have to put me in the hospital if they shoot at our president again.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's a scary thought. Beverly, thank you so much. Love you, too. Have a happy
absolutely.
New year.
Happy New Year to all. Bye-bye.
Yes, thank you. And as she's pointed out, straight through policies. Straight through policies. You know what I've noticed, Brian the producer? The women are saying, I've got to point this out. The women are saying, oh, just have the ceremony behind closed doors, have it televised. The men are like, no, let's do this joint, you know. Like, there are some men that are saying do it that way. But for the most part, as I'm looking into this, because I've been jotting this down as I've been sitting here, is it because we're more nurturing? Is that? I see a pattern. I really do. Let's see. Fred in the text line says to not change the way president is sworn in, who has had numerous attempts on his life and not recognize that the threat is still present and persistent in the definition of insanity. All right, Fred, you're on our side. The chain link fence would not stop a truck or a bullet. Anyone that wants to ignore these facts and that Trump is not the only one that would be at risk on Inauguration Day needs to wake up to our new reality, keep your eye on the ball and not forget the ultimate goal, and that is to save the country. Fred, you know, that's how I feel about it. But I also can understand the other side of it. The last thing you want is for them to believe that they've won anything here, right? The last thing we want is for them to believe that we are afraid in any way. As I told you guys earlier, there was a protest in New York City after the cyber Tesla truck exploded in front of the Las Vegas hotel. And I'm reading a tweet here from Rob Smith that says, all of these people need to be removed from America. He's talking about the protesters in New York. He says, a lot of these kids are on the student visas. Cancel them. If their family reunification cases in which the third world comes, then brings all of their useless relatives, end it now. Enough. I agree with him on that one. If you noticed the protesters yesterday in New York, many of them are students. Remember, they're protesting. They're anti-Israel. They're for Palestine. They believe that we aren't doing enough to protect Palestinians in Gaza. It got to a point. When I first saw the protest, there were hundreds of people. And this video that I see here on X, by last night, it looks like thousands of people were marching the streets of New York City. I do believe they're here on student visas. Yeah, cancel them. Why are you here? Why are you here? Not only that, you don't have to be here. Go to Gaza, right? That's where you should be. I'll never understand that. Why are you here protesting? Leave. I've got Bill in Ellicott City. Bill, what say you on inauguration?
Well, thank you for taking my call. Just to look back in history, in 1865, at Abraham Lincoln's second inauguration, John Wilkes Booth was in the audience at the Capitol. Now, John Wilkes Booth bragged later that he could have shot Lincoln, but as your call screener said, he was probably too far away. At the time, I think there were some people like the Secretary of Defense, Stanton, and even possibly Ulysses S. Grant, who urged the inauguration ceremony to be moved inside. I'm not certain of that, but of course Lincoln would have none of that. So, yes, I guess you have to go with the ceremony, yeah, outside and take your chances. Trump, there's no way that Trump would duck and go inside. No way he would do that.
Yeah, Bill, a lot of people are pointing that out, that Trump wouldn't have it any other way. Yeah, I guess I get nervous just because of the attempts on his life. And as the texter pointed out, you know, it would be the Biden administration and the Biden's DOJ and FBI that is, you know, in charge of the security. I guess I just don't trust it.
Well, let's hope you're wrong.
Yeah, no, I pray that I'm wrong. Thank you, Bill, so much. I hope you have a great day and a happy new year. I pray that I'm wrong on this. Right now, again, this is the poll question of the day brought to you by Renovation Real Estate on WCBM.com. Do you think Inauguration Week will be secure? Right now, 65% of you say no, 35% of you say yes, it should be fine. I've got Stephen in Baltimore. Stephen, what say you?
Hey, Kim, you can hear me?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with you, Kim, and I think Donald Trump's a little too trusting. What I think should be done, he should have his own private security. And, in fact, if willing, if Dan Bongino's up to the task, I would bring in Dan Bongino to assemble a security team of his own rather than you trusting the Biden administration. That's just the way I feel about it. So.
Yeah,
that's
definitely an idea. Thank you so much. I hope you have a happy new year, Stephen. Thank you.
You as well. Thank you, Kim. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Yeah, you know what? That's a thought. Even if it's just for that week, right? Say that he assembles a great team for that week. All I know is, you know, with this whole thing with trucks barreling through crowds. And we talked about this on New Year's Eve, remember? Remember I said, let's not wake up to one of those attacks. For some reason, we're not great at securing streets. I don't get it. Baltimore City, like I said, props to Mayor Scott. He got it done. Props to those in New York. They got it done. When you're looking at the so-called barricades in New Orleans, you're looking at some of those videos, those pictures, orange cones, really? You went with orange cones. Ugh. Terrible call. And that's all leadership. I got Mark in Hampstead. Mark, how do you feel about the inauguration?
Hey, Kim. How are you doing today?
Doing well.
Hey, well, a couple things. I hate to sound like one of the, I mean, I know it's been said, you know, when we give in to terrorism or we give in to terror, you know, we're letting the terrorists win. And I realize that's kind of a cliche at this point, but I do feel like, if there's ever been a tipping point where we really do need to stand up and not be fearful, it's at the inauguration. Now, on a side note, I know this would never happen, but, you know, the only thing that would guarantee Trump's safety is if he were surrounded at the swearing-in ceremony by people like Adam Schiff and Jamie Raskin. Because those would be the guys that would be pushing.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll leave that one alone. But I do have to say, you mentioned a few minutes ago something about you know, people not liking Trump, but also not liking his policies. You know, it's funny. The left really does broadcast what they're going to do if only we would listen. There was a lot of speculation about the open borders. And the obvious thing was, you know, that while they're trying to bring illegals in so that they can vote, or if you go a little deeper, well, they're trying to bring people in so they can get more representation because their numbers will go on the census. But what I noticed that no one ever mentions is they actually have a name for what they did with the open borders. It's called the Cloward-Jevons strategy.
Yeah.
And you can look it up. It goes back to the mid-1960s, and it was two lefty college professors that came up with the idea of overwhelming our social safety net to tank our economy. And I think we on the right, we tend to think that there is a rhyme or reason that the left does what they do, but sometimes you just have to look at what they do and not what they say and realize that what they want to create is chaos because, you know, the best defense against a revolution is a stable society.
Yeah, yeah. Mark, well, hopefully some of the listeners will look into it, as will I. You pray that you don't have people in charge that would want to do such a thing, but that evil does exist, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look back at Time Magazine, February of 2021 issue of Time Magazine, you know, they literally admitted they stole the 2020 election. And not only did they admit that they stole it, but they explained why it was a good thing. And you know, Time Magazine, you know, half the writers at Time Magazine work for the Central Intelligence Agency and have for the last 60 years. But they literally admit it. So, you know, the left broadcasts what they're going to do. We just need to
really take them seriously and listen to what they're saying.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, Mark, thank you so much. I hope you have a happy new year.
Thanks. You too.
Thank you. And a lot of times it's also projection, right? Because remember when they were telling us that Biden was sharp as a tack, they were also trying to, the mainstream media, there were a lot of people saying that President Trump was having a hard time remember things. Remember that? And we're like, wait a minute, what? Out of all the people. And so they were using this projection method, and I noticed that they do that a lot. All right, coming up next, we'll continue on this conversation. Also, I do want to talk about some of the victims that have been ID'd, very young people with promising futures, so we'll talk about them as well. All right, good morning. Happy New Year. We are still talking about the attacker, the terrorist attacker in New Orleans, and then we were talking about the suicide bomber that used the Cybertruck. Didn't do a very good job. I guess he just didn't know how the Tesla Cybertruck was equipped to not really allow the explosive to leave the vehicle. But he sat in front of a Las Vegas Trump hotel, I guess, hoping to blow the entire hotel up, but that is not what happened. The suicide driver died, and then they're saying seven other people were injured nearby, but all are doing well that were injured. I did want to talk about some of the victims because we do have the ID of some of those that were killed in New Orleans, and I want to make sure that we mention them. But also, I'm asking whether or not we should continue the festivities on Inauguration Week, as we always have done, and a lot of you were weighing in on it. I've got Tina in Reisterstown. Tina, what do you think we should do?
Well, there are a couple of ways of looking at this. Number one, it should be up to every elected Trump and his inner circle and his family to decide. But if he decides to do it inside, what it says to me is that it should say to everyone, he loves all of us. He loves America. And if he decides to do it inside, it doesn't mean he's weak. He's doing it to protect us. And that's the central thread. Yes, Trump, fight, 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 but he's been fighting for the country. And if he decides to do it inside, he will still be fighting for the country. And Kim, thank you for remembering the people in Atlanta. Not Atlanta. Listen to me. I always get nervous when I call you guys. Down in on Bourbon Street, thank you for remembering their names, and thank you for all you do for us here in Maryland.
No, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Thank you, Tina. Thank you so much for calling in. I hope you have a happy new year.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. And I think, Tina is very correct. And not obviously the decision should be made by President Trump and his family. I will say I was shocked when President Barack Obama, his first term, I was shocked that he wanted everything to be so public, right? There was the outside ceremony. There were a ton of people down there. And, of course, there were a lot of people that were whispering whether or not, you know, he was going to truly be safe on that day. I did want to get, let's see, we've got Joe and Perry Hall. Joe, you wanted to weigh in? Hello, Joe?
Oh, Perry Hall? Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't trust any of these leaders. And my question then is, who's going to be there? Is Benedict Biden going to be there? Or any of the other of the leaders of this band?
Yeah, that would be the only saving grace, is because, yes, you will have many, in the Democrat Party there. Yeah. But, so they'll have their security there. But I don't know about it. I don't know.
And what about the air and land perimeter? Are these drones going to be in the air? They could put a diversion up, have a whole flock of them going one way, and then they have a single one come in from behind, or in their strategy. And this could, if this was lethal, it could bring in martial law. I might be wrong about that, but it's something to think about.
For sure. For sure. Joe, thank you so much. I hope you have a happy new year.
Oh, have a good life, and happy new year to you.
Thank you. We stopped talking about the drones, didn't we? They told everybody that they were fine, so we're not talking about them. Still, if you want to weigh in on this, 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. I did want to go ahead and announce the very first victim that was ID'd, 18-year-old Nakira Dedeau. Creole last name, D-E-D-E-A-U-X. She was from Gulfport, Mississippi. And says Nakira was due to start nursing program at Blue Cliff College on January 13th. She came to New Orleans to celebrate the New Year's with a couple of her friends. Again, her future was stolen by this terrorist attacker. We're going to get into some of the more, some other names that have come out as well. A lot of their families weighing in, obviously absolutely crushed and heartbroken. But I will say all of the victims that I've seen so far, the 15 that have been ID'd, all of them very young, all of them under the age of 30, all of them with futures, bright futures ahead of them. And this is where we are in this country, which is a sad thought. All right, we'll continue this discussion when we get back. Also, got some texts coming in the text line. I'd like to read those texts and just update you on the New York City subway tragedy that just occurred. Yes, we've had many, but there was another one that I want to tell you about. All right, good morning to you. Yes, we are still talking about what happened in New Orleans on New Year's Day. And then also the Cybertruck explosion in Las Vegas in front of the Trump Hotel. We were talking about inauguration and whether or not we feel as though it's going to be secure. That is the WCBM poll question of the day brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. Do you think inauguration week will be secure? If you can, go ahead and go to WCBM.com and participate in the poll. I've got Jay in Westminster. Jay, how do you feel about inauguration? Should we do it inside, outside? What are your thoughts?
Definitely inside, but I've got the answer for the whole thing. 2026, I believe, is the 250th anniversary of our country. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. We could blame it all on Biden letting the country go to hell and say we're going to have to postpone this, but in 2026, in July 4th, we're going to have a massive celebration, which would take the place of this inauguration celebration.
Well, you know what? That's an idea. That's a good idea, Jay. Well, thank you so much. I hope you have a happy New Year.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. We had to delay it until President Trump has a handle on everything. That's a possibility, right? It's a possibility. We were talking about, unfortunately, the victims, 15 killed in that truck attack by the terrorist that was radicalized by ISIS. We talked about the nursing student that was killed. Second victim identified was 30-year-old Reggie Hunter, a warehouse manager and a father of two from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. He decided to go on a whim last moment. He was also hit with his cousin. His cousin is in critical condition at the hospital there in New Orleans. Third victim identified was New Orleans in the New Orleans attack was 27-year-old Tiger Beck, a Lafayette native and former football player for Princeton University. Tiger was kept on life support until his family arrived, and after which he died. He is the older brother of a former LSU player, Jack Beck. Fourth victim that was identified was New Orleans in this New Orleans attack was 28-year-old Nicole Perez. She leaves behind a 4-year-old son. Nicole worked at a deli and had just been promoted to manager. Her son is now in the care of friends. Oh, so awful. Fifth victim identified in this attack, 21-year-old Hubert Guthrou. And that is G-A-U-T-H-R-E-A-U-X, Hubert Guthrou. Hubert's family had been searching for him for hours until he was found at a local hospital where he then died of his injuries. Sixth victim identified was 25-year-old Matthew Tenadaro, an audiovisual technician for the Superdome. Matthew was actually shot and killed. His loss leaves an irreplaceable void in the hearts of his family and friends. I guess they were able to get a hold of his cousin. And so remember, there was a shootout between the attacker and police where two officers were shot. I believe they are in stable condition, also both still in the hospital, but he was shot during that shootout. Also, a seventh victim identified 18-year-old Kareem Badawi. a freshman at the University of Alabama. Kareem graduated last year from Baton Rouge Episcopal High School. And, of course, his family is absolutely devastated and heartbroken. And those are the ones that I see thus far that have been ID'd and family members have come forward. Like I said, very young, all promising futures. And like I said earlier, I cannot say that leadership there in New Orleans doesn't have some blame. They knew that the barriers were not sufficient. They knew this. They said as much in the second press conference. So you knew it, but still said, eh, it is what it is. Unacceptable. I've got Tom in Catonsville. Tom, what do you think we should do for inauguration?
Hey, good morning, Kim. Happy New Year.
Good morning. Happy New Year to you, too.
Well, I mean, I don't think people should act like they're afraid, but I think they need to acknowledge where they are, you know, in this particular time. This is not 1975 America. You know, there are a lot of bad actors out there. You're talking the other day that they've emptied out the insane asylums. They've let all kinds of people in the country over the last two, three, six decades,
yeah.
And haven't checked them. It's just not the place. There's no inauguration. There's no block party. There's no rally that I need to go to bad enough that I'm going to put myself in that position. And when you look at the people who are supposed to be there to protect us, I mean, all the way up to the FBI and the CIA, they've been instigating these things. They've been shown to instigate. They were involved in some assassination plot for Gretchen Whitmer. You know, they're implicated in the January 6th thing. I mean, you just, you know, if somebody invites you to a riot, just don't go.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to go. I don't need it. And I just, until Trump gets in there and we maybe see some real cleanup happening from top to bottom, I just think people need to acknowledge it's maybe not the time and place to put yourself in a position to be a target.
Yeah. Yeah, Tom, I agree with you. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Hope you have a happy New Year. Thank you.
You too.
Thank you. Look, when it comes to, like I said, I've got three events down there, Inauguration Week. I will go to the events, but I'm not standing outside for inauguration. Well, first of all, I mean, if we're being honest here, I was not going to stand outside for inauguration. We all know that I'm black and I get cold very easily. You couldn't pay me to stand outside for hours. But on top of that, even those events, I will go straight to the event and I will go straight home. And there's not going to be any hanging out, you know, oh, let's grab a drink. Let's grab. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And it's not that I'm just so scared. It's just I have no confidence in those that are supposed to provide the public safety at this point. I don't have it. Craig from Harford County texted a text line. He says, Happy New Year, Kim. Everyone is asking how these two folks were radicalized or are they related. I think our own mainstream media has radicalized our own citizens against Republicans and Trump. I think the ISIS flag is merely a symbol to throw off political nature of these attacks. Be safe out there. Craig in Harford County. You know, Craig, a lot of people are wondering the same thing because ISIS has not taken credit for this truck attack in New Orleans. And usually you do see a statement or something from ISIS. I haven't seen it. That doesn't mean it hasn't come out. I have not looked as of, I would say, maybe 7 a.m. this morning. But we might see something. I know they're doing an update currently out of New Orleans. Keith says, Kim, Reagan's second inauguration was canceled at the last minute due to extremely cold weather. It was understandable by everyone involved. Yeah, Keith, if we've got to postpone it or, you know, do something. Look, I don't think any, I know we want to stand up and say, yes, we are proud, we are Americans, and you will not scare us. But if Trump came forward because Melania and Ivanka, his daughters, Tiffany, if they said, Dad, we don't want you outside and we don't want to see the, you know, this happen so publicly. I think President Trump would say, you know what? The women in my life, they're saying that I got to do it inside and I'm going to do it inside. Or they're saying we should postpone it. And you know what? Let's postpone it. I think he will say that. I think he will. And I can imagine, you know, because Melania has talked about before in interviews how afraid she is for his safety. It's a scary thought. Let's see. I've got a text here from Fred. It says, picture this. President Trump is sworn in while the Oval Office standing next to a stack of executive orders. After he is sworn in, he sits down and begins signing those executive orders. How sweet would that be? Fred, that's a good idea, right? What was it, Barack Obama, who said, I have a pen or something like that? What? We all have pens, Obama. Let's see. I've got, I guess some people are talking about the subway attack. You know what? We will get into that. Let me take this caller here, and then we'll talk about New York City subway. Pat in Kaysville. Pat, you wanted to weigh in on the inauguration?
I sure do. You know these, you know, where you stand at a bus stop and the bus, you know, comes, you have a protective little thing over you. So couldn't they do something like a bulletproof shield, something like that, to build it around him so that, you know, it'd be bulletproof and, you know, he could stand inside of it. Of course, I know somebody could from the crowd could shoot at him, but there could be something to protect him and it would be bulletproof and that might work.
Yeah, that's a thought. That is a thought. I think some people are thinking, too, that, you know, yes, of course, keep Trump safe. And I'm sure, you know, if somebody wanted to hurt people that were there, you know, that would be a whole different situation. But I could see what you're talking about there, Pat. I think that would be a great idea.
Okay. Well,
thank you.
Just a suggestion.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Thanks. Happy New Year to you. Thank you so much. Okay. Thank you for listening. You know, I think we all have some great ideas here, and I think we all somewhat agree, right? Even those that want Trump to stand strong and still do inauguration as planned. I mean, many people have still said, you know, we just don't want them to believe that they won. But I think we're all kind of agreeing that there is somewhat of a threat, you know, by what, you know, we're saying here. Again, if you want to take part in the poll, it is there. Brought to you by Renovation Real Estate at WCBM.com. Do you think Inauguration Week will be secure? All right. I did want to talk about a couple different things. Oh, you know what? We'll talk about this New York City subway tragedy. And luckily, the gentleman survived. But I also wanted to just break to you really quickly here, because I know we've been talking all week about the speakership. There are so many people, even in the Republican Party, that do not want to see Speaker Mike Johnson continue as the Speaker of the House. And so here I was just minding my business on X last night, just going through, trying to see if there were any new updates in New Orleans. And I'm just reading along, and I see this unlikely tweet. And I say it's unlikely because usually, for the most part, Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky doesn't usually get into the fray online, right? Like, if you see him at a committee hearing, if he has his Festivus report, you know, he'll say what he has to say, right? But I was watching, like I said, going through X, scrolling through. Senator Rand Paul, he posts this on Twitter just yesterday. As Congress debates reelecting the accidental Speaker Mike Johnson, conservatives across the country should remember Speaker Mike cast the deciding vote to allow a secret court, FISA, to search American records without a warrant and to send $60 billion to Ukraine. Pathetic. Yes, Senator Rand Paul ended that with the word pathetic. I have never, ever, ever seen this from Senator Rand Paul. Now, of course, he said many things in the past about Dr. Fauci. I think a lot of us could agree with him on all those posts about Dr. Fauci. But I've never seen him comment on another Republican this way. Again, I ask the same questions. If it's not going to be Speaker Mike Johnson, who's it going to be? Who has the votes? That's still the same question I have to ask. But I wanted to bring that to you because now, of course, there are a lot of people weighing in now that this post comes from Senator Rand Paul, which, again, he doesn't say anything like this ever. Over 1.1 million views on that tweet, by the way. He's not happy with Speaker Mike Johnson. I had no idea. Brian, the producer, did you know? You didn't know? I didn't know either. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. All right. So there was an attack again in the New York City subway. You had a crazy lunatic that shoved a gentleman onto the tracks. So can I talk about, like, we all know that I'm afraid of birds, right? I'm afraid of birds. But you know what another fear of mine is? Someone pushing me onto the tracks of a light rail or subway. I don't know why that is, but I've seen it so many times where it's like these random people are just waiting for the train. And then, boom, it's happened time and time again. This is, okay, another thing. Why are you standing so close to the tracks and not paying attention? I'm not victim blaming. I just want to be clear about that. But your head's got to be on a swivel. You can't, those days where you're just looking at it, your phone or reading a book, standing next to the tracks like this, you know that there's lots of crazy people in the New York City subway. We already know this. Okay? This is nationally known, internationally known at this point. Why would you not be paying attention? I don't understand. Thank goodness this gentleman survived. They're saying that he has a head injury, but he was shoved onto the tracks, and as you can see in the video, the train then comes. They're saying that he must have fell, like, you know, the way that he was shoved, he must have fell right on the very side, on the inner side. And he must have been right under, like, under the train. Like, as the train came, it must have gone right over him, where the train most likely hit him in the back of the head. But because he was in that little pocket, he wasn't hurt otherwise. Talking about having a guardian angel. Gosh, how scary is that? Well, the attacker, this lunatic, apparently, of course, he is deranged. He has mental issues. But a Brooklyn woman came forward and say that she was stalked by this deranged guy. She actually had to file charges. His name is Kamel Hawkins. She said that she was terrified for weeks in regards to this individual. She went down to the police station and told him, I think he's going to do something to me. So when she saw his picture, she immediately contacted police and then contacted the press and wanted the police to pull up her police report so they could see that, you know, what he had been doing to her. Now, of course, they're all saying still allegedly. But she was saying that he showed up at her apartment. This all goes back to October of last year. Showed up to her apartment. She said that he came up there. I guess he thought that she was attractive or something like that. Began stalking her that way. He ended up hurting her dog. She ended up confronting him about the dog because she knew that he did it, because, of course, he's the one standing outside of her apartment building every day. He then admitted to her that he did do something to the dog to get her attention. This is how crazy this guy was. Well, anyways, he wears a ski mask, and you can see in the video where this gentleman, he's standing there. He's looking at his phone. When I tell you he's right next to the tracks, I mean right next to the tracks. You know how they have that, like, the yellow strip? And you're like, you should go past that little yellow strip. Well, I'm one of those people where I'm like, I'm nowhere near the yellow strip, okay? And you know, I'm always in heels. So I don't need to be anywhere near the yellow strip, okay? But this guy is right up on the yellow strip where you shouldn't be. The guy Hawkins, he comes across him. You can see where he kind of looks him up and down as he's walking by him. And then, boom, just shoves him. The train comes immediately. He intentionally tried to kill this man, so Hawkins is now being charged with attempted murder. But my, oh my, please, everybody, please pay attention. Please, have your head on a swivel. This is, again, you know what we talked about? How many times have we talked about getting your concealed carry in on the show? It's come to that point. It has come to that point. Your best defense right now is to be able to protect yourself and your family. All right, we get back. I did have a couple notes here that I wanted to note to you. Also, authorities are warning people of scams to look out for here in 2025. I just wanted to get those to you real quickly, just because I know it's so easy to get scammed online these days. And I just want you to make sure that you're paying attention to that as well. We'll discuss more coming up. All right, as you just heard there, Rob Carson is back today. Live on WCBM, so don't go anywhere. I did want to note, as I'm watching this press conference, the update here in New Orleans, which we'll talk about tomorrow. I'll make sure to get some sound from this for you. The FBI Special Agent Duncan, who I was complaining about earlier in the show, she is not there today at this press conference. They have a different special agent with the FBI. He was just speaking, a gentleman tall with a bald head. She's not there today. She's not there. I would think that she's most likely going to be fired. I've never in my wildest dreams would have imagined that the special agent in charge of the FBI would, again, the nose ring, I don't really care. Do I think nose rings are attractive? Absolutely not. People got them, so what? I don't care. Do what you want with your life. It's a free country. You can pierce your nose, you know, 80 billion times. I don't care. That wasn't the problem that I had with her. It was the fact that she deliberately lied after looking at the ISIS flag on the bed of the truck And then, on top of it, she gets up there. She corrects the mayor, right, of New Orleans. Like, oh, no, we're not calling this a terrorist event. It was clearly a terrorist event. But she gets up there and she corrects the mayor as if, how dare you, mayor? Then she poses everything she says as a question. Then she couldn't even answer any of the questions from the reporters, right? Senator Kennedy had to take over. She had no idea what was going on. They ask her to speak at the second press conference. She doesn't tell us what's going on with the FBI investigation. She says, we need everybody to stay away from Canal and Bourbon Street, okay? What? This is the FBI. Oh, what a joke. All right, I got a text here. Debbie says, Cam, I'm going to the inauguration with my family members, and we will only not go if it gets canceled. I trust this administration as much as I trust Satan, with that said. Yeah, Debbie, just, you know, make sure your head's on a swivel. Be safe. I'm sure President Trump is going to have things as planned. As many people pointed out, you know, he's not a guy to shy away from it. I did want to tell you guys, because we were talking about the visas and all the drama on Twitter with Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk and everybody going back and forth because they felt like they weren't putting Americans first. And they were getting some people from other countries to come in to do some of the tech and engineering jobs. They didn't like that. Vivek and Elon said, well, the best and the brightest just aren't here in America. They're overseas. Well, if you could imagine, a lot of people were very upset. And I understand the debate. I get it. Well, yesterday, the Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, they posted that they are recruiting for a very small number of full-time salaried HR, IT, and finance positions. And if you are interested, you can DM them your resume and a few bullet points about why you're interested in DOGE. They had no choice. They had to put that out there. They had no choice. Real quick, just so you know, authorities are warning people of scams to look out for here in January 2025. Facebook Marketplace, lots of scams there. Make sure you get all the information and bring somebody with you when you go pick up some of this stuff. Don't go alone. Come on, guys. All right. I don't want to sound like your mother, but I'm your mother today. Impersonations online. Always verify you are talking to the correct person. I've seen many accounts with my name on it. I have no idea who those people are. I just look. If the blue check isn't there, it's not me. And I only have one account on each platform. I don't have many. Trust me. I don't even want to manage the one account that I have. Also, there are scams with crypto. We know about that. We talked about the Hawktua girl and the rug pull she had with her crypto buddies taking millions of dollars. You know, she is going to end up in court, man. They're suing her. We'll see what happens because crypto isn't really regulated as of yet. And then also, last but not least, fake concert tickets. Brian, the producer. You try to go see some concerts. You like, what is it, Pearl Jam? Morgan Wallen. Oh, yes. Take me with you. Yes, that is something that the authorities say look out for. They've seen a lot of people getting scammed already here in January, and they don't want you to get scammed. So make sure you keep an eye out for those things and always verify who you're speaking to online. Tomorrow we'll talk about new updates coming out of New Orleans, of course, and whether or not they've connected New Orleans and Las Vegas. As always, Brian, thank you for a great show. I'll talk to all of you tomorrow at 9 a.m.